principles of lust are burned in your mind. Do what you want. Do it until you find love.
From 8,500 feet off the peaks of the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie Geo. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We're going to take you to the edge of the known universe into the unknown tonight with Savon Bomar, one of our dear friends and fellow hosts here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. He hosts a program 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock Pacific time. That is the program that comes on directly prior to our show right here on Truth Frequency. And the realms of consciousness that we get into are sometimes the more advanced levels. And we have a tendency to leave people behind, not intentionally, but because we go through the information so quickly. So I do want to take a step back and slow it down for this broadcast. And that's why we've reserved all 3 hours with Mr. Bomar to talk about the very, very important progression that we're all going through on a mental state. So let's bring Seven on without any further ado. Seven, how are you doing, sir?
You know, I'm doing exceptionally well.
Excellent.
And, wow, it's an amazing time. And here we are. I haven't actually been on, you know, this part of TFR in a while, so it's definitely going to be one of those knock them out of the park times, as always.
Wait a minute. This part of TFR, is this like the bad side of the railroad tracks?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, I'm in, you know, a couple hours earlier, but I actually haven't been on the Chris and Cherie Geo show.
Okay.
And, you know, people are so used to, you know, that happening at some point because, you know, I think every show that we've had has either been the prelude to some major, you know, explosion or the conclusion to some type of implosion as far as the knowledge that we've been able to coalesce in the truth frequency.
We definitely go supernova. I mean, some of the off-air conversations that we have as well, I am hesitant to share with people publicly because we get into the really, really, really advanced stuff. One thing that we got into yesterday that I know is not part of your notes this evening, but the flat earth topic and the idea of being able to break that matrix and that paradigm to the point of even questioning the globe that you're living in. And you made some really good metaphors and really good analogies that I was hoping you would share with the listeners.
For sure. Yeah. If you want to dive right in, I guess, you know, we got a 3 hour span, so there's quite a bit to cover in today's conversation. And so I'll definitely, you know, begin with that. I do want to also say thanks to the listeners. Because it is truly a collective vibe that we all share. And, you know, these are just words and I feel it. So even today, you know, I'm going to deliver some words, but I feel this. I've experienced this, which to me is far more than just the words. Like, we can never get hung up on the words being somehow satisfactory for us. So I definitely want to encourage anyone who's hearing the message to get out there and to explore what is being presented. So that that way they can truly grasp this, because other than that, then you become like just a receiver. You're just taking it in, and not having the ability to project and to create will leave one compressed and somewhat feeling lacking in this existence. So I definitely want to encourage everyone to just dive on into some aspect of what's going to be presented today. And I also want to encourage everyone to manage all their aspects of their creation as best as possible, and do not neglect your greatness. I mean, we're living in a time right now where if you do tell a person that they're a god, they may start arguing with you about, you know, how you just basically blasphemed and said something that is not only not the truth, but is the unpardonable thing to say. And so this is very interesting, the reality that we're dealing with, because there's a maximum level of compression, and people will learn what that means more and more as we speak tonight. because you'll see how in systems like this, compression, just like in a computer system, compression is key. That means how much you can compress something well, everyone does this. You do it with your computer. When you compress files, you put them into what's called a zip folder. And what happens is all the potential of that file is summed up within just a code. And it's just there and it cannot do anything. It doesn't have, you can't even see the pictures in it. You just see that one zip file. And until it's uncompressed, then you really see its contents. And that's exactly what's going on with our consciousness here on the planet by design. And you can also see Kundalini awakenings as one of the number one unzip tools or decompression tools, because you get a chance to blow open your system for once and air it out. And that's so important, because if we live in that compression, because when you study even orgone, you study things like that, when something's under compression, it emits a certain kind of energy. And if that compression is negative, because you're not expressing yourself and you're not living the way that you want to live, etc., then you emit this negative energy. And what I'm going to be talking about tonight is, you know, my full discovery of even the beings that eat that they actually consume the energy that comes off of beings that are compressed. So this is a real adept level conversation. But before we even get into those kind of terms, we're going to talk about just a little bit about what that means. And also, I'm aware that we will have these time segments. There'll be some commercials. So it gives you an opportunity to go through these presentations, because there's going to be several things I'm going to talk about tonight, especially during the break, and start to write your own notes. Definitely go grab a note and pad. Don't think that you're going to be able to go at this with the old noggin. You're going to need to take some notes, because these will serve as good, a legend. You know, they say on a map, you got a legend. A legend tells you what each symbol means. This is going to be a legend to your map of your own progress throughout this galaxy, which you need to start taking. All of us, I mean, me, every day I tell myself, man, you need to start taking this more serious. I want to smack you if you don't get more serious, just to bring yourself more and more into present, because present is serious. Present is adept. Like you don't have the same luxury as a child to where you can go and do things and then your parents come clean it up later. When you move into a depth level, then you're going to need to be responsible for everything going on. And I will say to everyone that's listening to the conversation, remember that there's different forms of consciousness all over the planet. Cats are a form of consciousness, nice form of consciousness. But cats are not thinking who took down the towers in 9/11. And that's, it may sound funny, but when you really think about it, there are different levels of thought. And just like we may be, you know, thinking about some of this stuff like flat earth and all the different topics that we have, we can't neglect to remember that there are quite a few more states of thought higher than where we are, if you want to term it as higher and lower. And it's best at times to work to latch a hold of that. And today we're going to call that getting outside the circle, because, you know, a lot of people talk about getting outside the square. But when we understand truly what we're saying and the symbolism and what physics now teaches us and what all geometry teaches us, when we use certain terms, we're going to have to be mature enough to accept what those terms really mean. So when we see our existence as somewhat zodiacal, like a wheel, one of our major inventions, I'll definitely say, because you don't see wheels in nature. Nature doesn't have a locomotion through a wheel. It has legs and tentacles and those kind of things as a form of locomotion. And what this means is that it means that the wheel is our invention in every aspect of what you can think of it, from on a car to even the zodiac being part of what we're collectively inventing. And we need to realize when we talk about the circle, the real circle, not circles within circles, which we're going to talk about today. You know, you got different societies, you got different type of people. They work their craft and they work with these circles. And when you understand that, then it gives you a certain level of power.
And that's what it's all about right there. Personal power. That should be all of our goal. And it's not power to, in the sense that the New World Order wants power. It's power of understanding who you are, to elevate yourself to that next realm, which should be the duty of all of us while we're here. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
flat Earth is quite symbolic, to me anyways, because you realize that you're stuck in an ice wall. And you've got to get out of that ice wall, but then the question comes to mind, what is beyond that ice wall? Is it an infinite plane? Or are you living in a dome? Or is it a computer simulation? And regardless of what conclusion you draw from it, you still draw the conclusion that you have to get out of that ice wall. And that becomes the big question. What is on the other side of the ice wall? So symbolically speaking, the journey through consciousness is the same. And you have to break down those barriers. It's really funny because with the flat earth topic, a lot of people that I've encountered really just dismissed it immediately. And what they communicated to me by dismissing it without any investigation whatsoever, and they even got to the point of parroting mainstream media tactics where with ridicule and all kinds of things like that, the way that the mainstream media would treat 9/11 truthers, the way mainstream media wouldn't investigate 9/11 or even talk about any legitimate points behind 9/11, they thought they were better than to actually investigate it. And I know how silly. That's the way these people were dismissing the idea of flat earth. And so what that communicated to me was, okay, I understand you've created boundaries. That is where your truth stops right there. So you've painted the line in the sand for yourself, and you've told me that you're not willing to cross that line. Okay, I'm going to go surround myself with people who do want to cross that line, because for me, there are no boundaries. I'm boundless. I'm endless. I am, as KRS-One says, I am the conspiracy that the Illuminati fear, not the other way around, because the power that we're achieving, the levels of consciousness that we're achieving, are giving us the ability to not only break out of this matrix ourselves, but to show others how to break out of the matrix, and that is what they fear the most. And that's what we're doing this evening with our dear friend Seven Bomar. So Seven, take us away.
For sure. And we're definitely going to get into that topic for sure. And we're going to cover it in every aspect of how it needs to be covered. And then we're even going to go even beyond, because that's obviously what the design of today's conversation is about, is that we talked a lot, as you talked about earlier, you know, there's some reorganization that has to go on, and it's just like spring cleaning. And, you know, everything's out. It looks a mess. Someone comes over and they're like, what are you doing? You're like, clean up the house. And they're like, well, it looks like you're dirtying up the house. But it's really that you have to get into the nooks and crannies of everything, pull everything out and really put it out there and put it all back in order, know where things are, and then go ahead and go on with your progress of your tidy temple. And so the reality also is that tonight we're going to also cover a full gambit. It's going to be like a buffet of topics of advanced consciousness. So it's going to not be a good idea to hang on, just telling the audience to hang on one word or one ideal. If you can't grasp it, you know, it'll turn itself, and there'll be something that'll be able to allow you to see what was being discussed earlier. So you have this as a recording. You can always go back to it. And I will say the last thing is, I got to come with disclaimers before I talk these days, because, you know, I just get a lot of activity going on from different people who are still in different modes of thought, and they haven't been able to absorb the whole thing yet. And so sometimes they can become just like you said, resorting to old tactics from some of the systems that they complain so much about, as far as how they deal with you, you know, calling you all out your name and threatening you and those kind of things. Like it really does something. But that's the energy that they're tapping into. But I'll say this, is that we can actually become very malevolent if we start to get distraught and upset and angry if someone's not following the advice that we're giving them. Like, all we're here to do is to give advice, and we do that as best as possible. We've even taken that on from a professional level, meaning out of integrity. We do think about what we tell others and how they respond to it, etc., because that's what you do in giving a full message and doing your best to not dumb people down with this, not tell them that they're stupid because they don't know this. This is about instructing. No teacher comes up to you and says, oh, you're stupid for not knowing 2 + 2. And it doesn't even work like that. So when you say you're a teacher, that means you're here through thick and through thin. And there's even things that you learn. And I think for teachers, one of the biggest things that we could learn is that if we want to work with balance, then we cannot be concerned about what people do with what we tell them. We should only be concerned with the quality of what we're telling them. And if we cross that line to where when someone says, hey, I don't like what you're saying, or you don't like what a person believes in, and that whole transfer starts, you actually become malevolent, whether you want to argue about it or not. The moment you take on that other side of the 180-degree circle, then you become phase-locked and in resonance with that. And only an adept, only adult knows how detrimental it is not to do that. Meaning, in this circle of 180 degrees by 180 degrees, these are two, if we want to divide the circle into two, of course, the circle can be divided into 360 degrees. We're going to divide it into two and just three tonight, but mainly two. So you have 180 degrees, this is synonymous with day, and 180 degrees, that's synonymous with night. When you put those two together, obviously it's a nine and a nine. So this symbolically gives us a yin and a yang symbol, because it's exactly how things go on the planet. People they only see the daytime. They really don't see the night. And this is also symbolic. People are generally asleep during the night, not awake and, you know, in enjoying whatever the night has to deliver. But we need to realize that just as we can be young and vigorous, there's also this time where we get old. But most people only want to think about the young and vigorous part. It's a part of the minor consciousness. See, a minor, or a person who is is basically a young, a seed, only sees what it wants to see. It only sees that light. It only sees that beginning. It only sees that vigor. It doesn't have the wisdom yet of realizing, well, wait a minute, things here die. And wait a minute, there's a nighttime. And wait a minute, that thing's being attacked by worms. Wait a minute, you know, that, because that's the other 180 degrees. And so when we become adepts, then that's, we take on the 360 degree aspect. As minors may have 5 degrees, 10 degrees. And now we're going to look at this word minor, because it's all a code. And we're going to break this down very briefly. So when you take the word minor, it has at least three meanings. One, it means someone young in adolescence. Two, it means someone who's digging for something, trying to extract something. Then there's a few other meanings of the word minor. So we're just going to look at those two. So in this matrix, what we found at the end of all these high levels of arts and studies is that everything was energy, that it's all about energy. So when you deal with things of an extracting nature, to where you have to find it, like we have to find truth now, we have to extract truth from all this falsehood, it's the same way you would have to extract gold from a rock. You're going to find just a little bit of it, and then you're going to have to refine all this rock or this carbon. So that's what our existence is like as minors, that we've been sent here by a higher level of our own state of consciousness to play this game of trying to extract truth out of everything, try to extract energy out of everything. And then that takes us to our next level.
And that's where we're going to go here in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen.
TFR? Sign up for the VIP membership and get instant access to thousands of on-demand downloads. Visit truthfrequencyradio.com/signup to subscribe. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
What 7 is describing, ladies and gentlemen, is the Kundalini awakening, or the consciousness awakening. I don't like to use the term Kundalini or chakras or any of that, because I happen to resonate with what George Kavassalis says, where he believes that these are organic implants. But for lack of a better term, we'll call it a Kundalini awakening. And a lot of people are experiencing this right now. In the third hour, I'd like to bring on our friend Jonathan, who's a fellow host here on Truth Frequency. He's going through quite an awakening, and he's just on fire, resonating with everything that you're saying right now. He really wants to join in on the conversation. So if we can keep that in mind, the first 2 hours, let's, you know, just go 120 miles an hour, and then we'll bring on Jonathan in the third hour, if you're okay with that.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, everything is already set up. So the other thing is, you know, let's go ahead and get into this, because, you know, this could be, you know, this could be quite lengthy if I try to take it just at one step at a time so people comprehend it. So it's going to be one of those, either you get it or you don't. So in all pyramidal-based systems, which is what we're living in, and I'm going to explain that in depth here in a minute, but you have adepts and you have minors. If you look at the top, then that is what's called an adept, because it does not have to extract energy. It does not have to mine, because it's in a zone that all of the energy is basically something you learn. You learn how to remain in harmony. Because if you're not in harmony, this means that you have to extract energy, because everything that you do costs energy. So in the system, you have basically a whole realm of miners, people who actually are looking for energy every day, whether that comes out to money for them, whether that comes out to food for them, whether that comes out to breath for them or water for them. It is one specific code, and it says that you basically must go and get something. And this is actually where the divide begins. So let me explain about the real flat earth. Because the first thing that you learn as an adept, or when you're going into that level of consciousness, is that if something is true, the true truth, not fables, if something is true, then you will find it on all levels. This means that the only thing that changes your color, if you really study, the only thing that changes your vibration, your appearance, all that is changed by frequency. So when we move into different frequencies and we look at the same things that we're looking at in front of us right now, they take on a totally different character and a totally different hue, a color, a pattern, and everything else. So that's how the planes are set up, or what people would like to call flat earth. But it's flat earths being plural, with each of them having a different name beside earth. And this is because, as the ancient Sumerians had already pointed out, that the more larger states of consciousness, aka the adepts, they broadcast signals that are harmonic with themselves. So let's say, for instance, if you're on the Venusian plane, if you're on Inanna's plane, then everything is going to be created in a five-base pattern. It's all going to be based on the love, the hate, and all the different components of that particular character. Same thing with the Marduk system. It'll be more like warlike. It'll have those kind of characteristics. But also on every plane, what keeps the whole spindle, I call it, in harmony, is that there's components from each, or degrees of each sphere inside of the other spheres. And that's why they call it as above, so below. So there'll be Mars energies, and we're just using these as archetypical terms. There'll be Mars energies on the Venusian plane acting out in war, but the predominant frequency will be Venusian. Okay? So how this works is, when I started going through the flat earth theory in itself, I don't think it, because when I get into something, I have to fully dedicate myself to it in order for me to fully dig into finding the truth in it. Everything is going to be like that. If you can't fully immerse yourself in it, then you won't find the truth in it, and you won't find the lies in it. You won't see the whole thing. And so when I go into something, and maybe some remember that I actually did some shows, but I actually went over some people's house that were quite famous. I never talked about it, and I pitched flat earth to them just to show how dedicated I was to that specific mode of consciousness from what I had discovered it to truly mean. And what it came out to, as I was continuously being encouraged, but Seven, look higher. But Seven, it's beyond the physical plane. It's always beyond the physical plane. What is the idea and the concept of flat earth in the astral state of consciousness? And what I came up with was, one, just like what Chris was saying earlier, if you cannot dissolve the ground beneath you, or what you think is your foundation, if you cannot eradicate it, you cannot build it or rebuild your foundation again. And how that comes out to most people when they hear the flat earth theories, it's just so far-fetched for them. They can't actually bend their consciousness to a point of being able to even start to think maybe this may be true. And because what's really being bred, if you may, is the ability to destroy any hardcore foundational concept. for the ability to build something entirely different and something much more innovative. Because at the end of the day, whether if it's flat, if it's round, if it's shaped like a trapezoid, it doesn't matter if you're not the one that's crafting it, if you're not the one shaping it. And if you're the one shaping it, then it can become anything you want it to be. This is the limitless. So those who remain in that first part of the physical part of anything to do with what we're calling spirituality, it's only going to give them the base part of the explanation. But when you go higher, you begin to realize that, wait a minute, this is also about me getting off of this global state of consciousness. This prism, well, the prism's inside, but the global state of consciousness, also the circle, because that's generally you see the circles being deducted as two-dimensional planets, of course. But what it allows you to do is stop accepting all the concepts that come behind such powerful geometry. A circle immediately means everything that's inside of it is confined. So if you're on this idea that the planet is a circle, then you're also agreeing that you're confined inside of it. So there becomes many things. Also, because something is confined, that means there's a limitation. So now you accept the limitation.
Well, you're also floating through space out of control.
I mean, the theory goes on and on, meaning right. that once one steps one thing, then it could be something totally different. Because, see, our process through the universe, as we're spiraling through the universe, as they finally, you know, come up with that we're actually moving, is actually the same process of what a bacteria does when it's moving through the body. A bacteria is so small, when it's moving through the what we call the water in our body, the water is not like water for us. It's more like Jell-O. So their spiral is actually not what we would see as a whipping if we were looking at it on a two-dimensional level. It's actually a corkscrew. So they're corkscrewing, just like you do a wine bottle, their way through our body, tunneling and drilling like miners. Meanwhile, we corkscrew as we're processing behind the sun with disks, whatever the hell we want to call them. I see it when I come out as a crater that has a core, a torus-based core that pulls every single thing towards it. So thus, that's why water holds in its position, because there is a what we call a core in the center of the planet that is magnetic. So it pulls everything towards it, which is any being that has any real power pulls things towards it. It doesn't push. And we talked about that before, about chasing something versus pulling it in. So our planet has in its core, it pulls. And then that attracts all this, not just water, not just souls or spirits and all these different things that it's pulling from what it's collecting as we're corkscrewing through something that we would need to get out of it entirely before we even know what it is. Because people, if an organism's inside of your body, is it going to know about you live on this street? And your name is this, and you have this kind of lifestyle. No, it's not going to know anything about that. So just like us, until we get out, we won't be able to see completely what it is. But I see it, and many have been able to see it.
We'll be right back. Talking about that.
Allà baix dins els canals, en el peu de Santanya, pareix que sent picarols, suau si es mou sa manada.
So it really is all about dropping the veil and letting you all out there see the true potential that each and every one of us have, but the entire world structure on the spiritual and physical is made up to keep you from realizing that. Luckily, we have Seven Bomar, who is shining the light in the darkness, bearing the light in the darkness, I should say. So Seven, take us away. Oh, did we lose you? I think you might be muted.
Oh, yeah, I'm muted.
All right.
You know, and again, so I'm back on. So just to conclude that, so the planets corkscrew through what we call space through a matter just as viscous as the water in our body, and that's Mayat. Okay, so when people start to begin to figure that out, then come holler at me. So before then, we'll just talk about the divides. Okay, this is known in the Kabbalah as Dravid or David or DVD. Okay, it's a disc. And the discs are the divides. This is how the code works. And on each disc, there are primaries. It's set up just like the template of your body. But, you know, when someone says something like, you know, Kundalini and chakras are organic implants, I will have to ask, well, isn't everything? Because truly, everything is an organic implant to call some kind of function. Just identifying that, we've actually gone nowhere. And then on top of that, if we start to demonize it, and it's going to be, if it's part of us, if it's here, there's going to be always two sides to it. Nothing comes without the two sides. Could it be a part of our collective manifestation, even if it's run amok? And the truth is, yes. Just if you put power in the hands of minors, then this is what you'll be dealing with. And so that's also why this Sumerian story, if it wasn't so misconstrued, it actually is symbolic for many different things, like the power being given to basically miners or younger beings to actually mine for energy when that was the older beings or adept beings' job. Okay, you know how it says that in the Sumerian text of the Anunnaki, that the Anunnaki didn't want to mine for the minerals or the gold, and so they created this Lulu Adamu, and that was supposed to be doing all the mining. So they basically gave the job of what they were supposed to be doing to someone else, and that someone else is supposed to be us. Okay, so you got to read through these myths. See, myths are not fables. Fables are like Santa Claus. They are not true. They are mixed with so many lies, it dilutes any kind of real structure to it. What a myth is our ancestral way of actually being able to interpret something that's happening to where we can understand it, but also to a factual level. Nowadays, we use science for that. We don't use the ancient way of, you know, it's thunderclap and then it shuddered and then it came down. Because if you're in that space and time, people actually understand or understand what exactly you're talking about, because it's not just about understanding what you're saying. It's about feeling what you're saying. And it's the feeling is everything. And what we've been turned over to these days is the worst kind of energy, because it's virtual. Some people can get on the line and have a virtual relationship and feel in that virtuality. And truthfully, that is like you're trying to extract from dirt. This is not even pay dirt. So let's start going forward with this. So on those divides or discs, just like it says in those texts, that there are different frequencies. Now, you can call them chakras, and you see each chakra has a different personality, but then they're all smashed into even one personality. That's you. That's called the universe that's within you. So you can love like Inanna. You can go to war like Marduk. You can reign on high like Anu. All this is just symbolic. If people ever put faces behind this, acting like this is, we're just talking about humans, then that's because they've limited it to their dumbed down consciousness. If our consciousness has been dumbed down, we have to start realizing that that means that the way we're analyzing things is going to be dumbed down. That's factual. So we need to, you know, make those process. Only you can heal yourself, physician. That's why it says, you know, heal thyself. So this, you only can apply this to you. So what I've come to learn is that we extract light or energy in everything that we do in order to maintain our existence as it is now, our vibration as it is now. And when we cannot process that light or energy anymore, like when you see a person, they're getting towards their death, they can't break down minerals in their food. Let me make this simple. Your body loses the ability to extract, to do its alchemical process that it does on everything. That's why when you were young, 20 years old, you can eat a cheeseburger and your body will extract all the way to another form of life, which is the semen and the egg. It'll create that out of it in high quality. But as you get older, notice the body can't even produce. And a lot of people, it can't produce actually a living egg or a living semen at a certain age. So this is the other 180 degrees of knowledge that people are missing. And what it starts to teach us is it starts to teach us the high truths to the matter. So that way, if we're willing to accept it and become adults rather than 13-year-old kids with no melanin, then we can expand out of this. And here's another thing. People need to understand that just like they will tell you, oh, well, you know, this person invented the light bulb. And I won't even talk about that. I'll talk about Tesla because people love Tesla. Say, oh, Tesla invented this. First of all, there were people in Kemet using all of this stuff that we're using right now in its highest, most advanced form. And then on top of that, when we use words like physicality, okay, and we don't think that that has anything to do with spirituality, but isn't spirituality the deep study of the body and how the body actually has these chakra centers? And aren't you in your body experiencing spirituality? So how is physicality not a part of spirituality? See, this is how words trick people. Because it sounds wise, it sounds like, oh, no, you're talking about the physical aspect. We're talking about spirituality. What part of the physical aspect doesn't have anything to do with spirituality? The whole damn thing is one thing. But if we get into the dividing, trying to figure out which one's the truth, which one's not, who's right, who's wrong, then that's when we get onto these different layers. And then we don't have our power. We're only trying to figure out who's white, who's black, who's green, what tastes good, what's bad for us. And then that has nothing to do with our expansion. That's the hive. So let me explain the hive very briefly. What a hive is that anytime you have a group of people that all speak one language, if that's English, if that's Arabic, whatever, they are all now instantly locked into a hive. It's not something that you say that, oh, maybe I am or maybe I'm not. Because once you load the program and others have loaded the program, that's what languages are. Now we're in that hive mind together. And that's why what happened with English is English continued to try to grow itself to become perfect. They tried to turn English into phi. What they're saying is that they tried to mimic what nature does as a circle, which many people associate with spells. That's why the spelling and the spells and all that connect together, because when English was developed and continuously developed off the Greek, off of the hieratic demotic scripts, the ancient texts, the Sumerians, the cuneiforms, English kept trying to build and build and build in the programmers of English, which you have to understand exists outside of time. The programmers of English kept growing the language to attempt to make it a circle so it becomes one big spell. And then that way, everyone that's inside of that circle can be triggered through the words in the program. So let me explain how this worked. Maybe we should wait till the next segment for this. But yeah, let's wait till the next segment because I have the notes. And I'll explain to you how Earth was already what we would know as a quantum system, an organic quantum system. Because when you start to decode all of what went on in what is modern day Egypt, which is Kemet, you find the circuit boards and the patterns and all the modules laid out for a planetary quantum system that could operate on multiple parallels. And this is why people find themselves scattered across the divides, cut off. Those are the ice walls. The ice walls are the spaces, the zones between one realm and another. See, when a person starts to somehow reconfigure their body so they can actually perceive other things, what they're actually doing is they're now combining their primary frequency with the frequencies next door or the frequencies in other places. So now they can kind of see both worlds. But this thing is very orderly, so this is why certain geometry you'll find here.
Excellent. Seven, give us your websites real quick and where people can pick up more of your work.
Yeah, so secretenergy.com, that's Secret Energy, or astroquest.com.
Excellent. Any upcoming projects?
Yeah, there's always something going on, but we got to go to a break.
All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere.
TFR. called being in the zone. It's called, you know, being lucky. It's called having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. And that's got to be said.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
All right, hour number two, we are back with Sevan Bomar right here on Free Frequency. And Seven, I know it's pronounced Sevan, but I'm going to continue to call you Seven. We don't return to GCN for another 10 minutes, so I want to shift the topic here just for the sake of continuity for our AM and FM listeners and the GCN listeners as well. So in this segment, I want to ask you about Nibiru and the idea of this brown dwarf or planet coming through and creating chaos in a secular fashion. What is the metaphor and the allegory behind that?
It's when the humans meet the pinnacle of the technology. It's basically when the height of spirituality and the height of what we call technology reach singularity. And this may be too deep for many to go at this point, but, you know, if we're going to do it on TFR, we might as well.
This is the TFR audience exclusively, so nothing is too deep for them.
What happens is at the end of this, which the end is but the beginning, and it always will be like this in a circle because it's perfect. People that are here are trapped in perfection, so they need to actually remember that. So what happens is that, let's say for consumers, the best thing that they could ever have is a device that anytime they need it to be something, it turns into it. So let's say on the simple level, if it's a blender and you need it to be a toaster, it turns into a toaster. Right now, you'll see that Bosch has already released paper. Bosch, the German company, they got Immaculate Labs over there, have already released papers about their new nano, which is even lower than a nano form, which it doesn't have to be because a nano is already half the size of an atom, that basically just responds to frequencies to change its functionality. So when you send a frequency, all the nanos change their functionality. If you've ever looked through the paperwork on all of the stuff with chemtrails, et cetera, even the black goo, what you'll find is that there is an actual malevolent antithesis to what we would know as Maat, that there's basically, there's a positive black goo and there's a negative black goo. And for us to understand this, you know, just to not use terms that sound so funny, that when they show you that black stone in ancient times that was worshipped, even throughout the Druids, even through what we call Islam today, whatever, every culture has a worshipping of a black stone. That black stone was symbolic to those people as Maat, because the stone is alive. It has a deep core processor within it. It's like the same thing you see within your computer is like basically black squares, right? If you think about it, and when you open a computer, you see all these black stones, basically. And it's because the ancient knowledge all revealed that you could take meteorites and compress them into cubes, and they will bring forth their data in the form of light. And then you can decrypt it. So what happens is that when the plunderers, and you can call them that, got into Kemet, which is written in the Bible as the Israelis plundering Egypt, they found the knowledge of Maat, and then they turned it against everyone. And this is what we're dealing with right now. It could never be more true that the ancient laws of nature have been turned against us. So now when they found out about how to create the quantum computing system, Apple, what you call Apple Computer, this is Phi. Okay, Phi is Maat. Phi is the black goo of the primordial waters. Like when you get into the depth of the ocean, there the water is different. And as I said, even the far reaches of what we call space, these planes are synonymous, as this stuff is like, it's living amniotic fluid for all organisms of light that can penetrate into it. So this is the force and the power that is being dealt with now, that is attempting to be harnessed. And so it's like riding the dragon, Okay, and that's even the symbolic term of people who get involved with this kind of level of either a high, ultra high tech or ultra high spirituality, because at some point they merge. At some point, everything merges. See, this is what bothers me, if anything bothers me. I'm 36 years old and I'm going headlong into this despite all the stuff that I've been through and all the stuff I'll have to go through. And I already know about all of it. And I got elders out here, 80 years old. I got young soldiers out here, 18 years old. And all of us are here, and many of us are not able to distinguish who's the friend and enemy anymore. So they're starting to attack and fester amongst each others, because this is a prism system. And it's, that doesn't mean something just negative. This is what we have to force our mind into doing, is understanding, well, what is the other side of this? This is a structure. It's a structure that looks very similar to a pyramid. You have one thing on top. Let's say it's the sun beaming out all of its power. And the closer you can get to it, look how ignorant this planet is. It's been using fossil fuels, right? Our sun says, hey, I can power everything for free. So see, it's not the system that we're in. It's who's attempting to run the system, because they stole it and they don't even know how it operates. They just are greedy on the power. And this is real factual stuff. We got sun kings sleep, meaning that they're still the descendants of the ancient people are here right now, but they're in the deep sleep. They're in the spell. And the moment that this spell starts cracking, then, you know, you don't have anything to worry about in the first place, because it's going to eventually happen. Because now even minds like mine and those who are connecting, we reverse engineering technology for its spiritual aspect. You see, so everything that they come out with, they sneak. See, they snuck the computer out and they never told you, hey, there was a computer in Kemet. They snuck the light bulb out and said, hey, they didn't tell you there was light bulb. They snuck the car, didn't tell you that the car was based on the heart and how the engine works in your heart. And so they keep sneaking this technology, but they're stealing this technology. And when we learn where it comes from, then, which is us, we learn about ourselves again. And then that's what changes this. And those who get involved in this already start their transformation into their higher self, if you want to call it oversoul, whatever. So I know we're going into probably another break here, because there's more to this. You know, that was just kind of an outburst of what we're dealing with here. But this is so methodical. Like, there's so much order to this. There are certain things that you should, when you learn, you can start tying in everything. For instance, since this was a quantum system, in quantum systems, just like what you're seeing on your screen right now, if you're looking at a computer at all, there's programs. And then inside of those programs, there's scripts. And inside of those scripts, there's characters. So when you apply that to what we're dealing with every day, you got people running around on scripts. They have no idea that they're even inside of a program, not to mention that there's other programs. If you have Photoshop, Photoshop's not your only program. You have Google, you have all these other programs, right? So most people are inside of their program. This is their division. And they've got this script that they keep going by. My name is blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And then it's full of characters. This is the character, you know, today they're mad. A couple minutes they're happy. Next minute they want to kill somebody. Those are all the characters. Because that's programming. Language has done that. Experiences have done that. There's even a hard-coded hive mind firmware that will teach people how to do that. Because at a certain point, you start to realize, man, I'm working hard here. Man, this duality's got me virtually powerless. What am I doing wrong? Because you'll learn to start checking yourself. Don't wait for someone else that you're going to just get mad at once they tell you the truth about yourself. So the truth is that we get deeper. We go deeper.
That's very true. I've noticed that people do wait for others to bring them the truth, and then they react poorly to it. Exactly. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Much more with Seven Bomar. Of course, Jonathan will be joining us in the third hour as well. This is going to be a great show. It already is a great show. It's always a great show with Seven.
Principles.
city above the clouds. This is True Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie Geo. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We're unlocking the mysteries of the universe as we travel through this university, graduating from one level to another. And the question is, at the level that you're on now, will you be left behind? Will you be held back? Are you just going to up and quit? Or are you going to skip a grade? That's the way that I see existence, all of reality. It's an ever-evolving process of learning, which brings to mind something that a very religious friend told me. They said, Chris, why are you doing all of this inner work? Why are you awakening all of this within you? Just enjoy your life. Jesus has done that for you. My jaw just dropped to the floor. And I know I've said this a couple of times. Our regular listeners may have heard it before, but it's something that really stuck with me. There are some people that are actually there thinking, why should I do the inner work? This extra external source has done the work for me. That's not the way it works. I think that defeats the whole purpose of existence. What a boring existence, too, would it be where we just sat there and just did nothing? There was no need to spiritually evolve. There was no need for nothing.
Well, and that also brings to mind the idea of heaven in general and the whole idea behind heaven. Like, what's the whole point of heaven? Heaven, if you ask any fundamentalist Christian, they'll tell you that the whole reason behind heaven is so that we can sit there and worship God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever for till the end of time, like for eternity. And that's all we do is just worship, praise and worship forever. Why would that even like be in a deity's mind or anything like that? Why would we want that to be our eternity?
Very well said. As Santos Bonacci would say, as above, so below. And if you don't agree with me, I'm going to put you on a list and put it on Facebook over and over again.
Oh.
You had to go there.
Sorry.
Poor
I didn't
Santos.
Mean to go there.
Oh.
He's been infiltrated.
You know, I do want to.
His Facebook was hacked.
I do want to chime into what Cherie was just saying because, you know, she was spot on it. I mean, the truth is that In this system, because it is a pyramidal system, you really have to really regulate where your power is actually coming from, or it just equals more work. Because and that was what the whole cutoff is. Like they say it briefly in the Animatrix when they say that in the machines were pulling all their power from the sun. Now they're referring to sheeple when they say machines because those are the workers. And they were pulling their power from the sun. And so when they put this fake sun god, which is the Jesus, what they did was it's almost like, you know how in Indiana Jones Temple of Doom when there's like the shrine right there, but it's booby trap, and then he takes the shrine and he puts like a bag there that he hopes weighs the same amount. It's that kind of move to where what they did was they took the process of what we normally would do, which was if when our chakra centers or whatever you want to call them, or when you're in alignment and you point your alignment towards the sun, you can connect with everything. So what they did was is they put this man, and Caucasian man at that, in front of everyone as to block them or to cut them off from the real sun. Now, see, this is the joke of the Bible to when they say, oh, yeah, we found these people over there and they were worshiping the sun. You need to go and tell, like the physical sun, you need to go and tell them that they should change their religion. Whoa, if anyone knew, just like I know what the sun is, when you get into that stage when your chakra centers are open and you interface and you see and feel just how much energy and connection is with everything because you now are seeing through that eye. This is where this look at what's happening. They took and who is they? These are the what they call themselves, the Ashkenazi, whatever, that plundered this knowledge. They're today stalking people in the rap industry. Liar Cohen. This hasn't gone away. These are the same people that are complaining that they've been so abused in other countries and things. But they have a history, and this history is stealing the knowledge of nature and selling it to people. And that's who the bankers are. We have to start putting all this stuff together. But where did they get this knowledge from? They got it from our mother, our motherboard. That's basically our mother is the blackness of space. That's not just nothing. They always call it nothing. It's nothing. Now the adepts have learned to start looking into nothing more. That's why what CERN is all about. Let's discover what this nothing is, because it is something. It's Maat. And she is even the core processor, and the sun gives her power. This is the system of photosynthesis. This is why the plants and trees still take in the sun's energy, and they grow off of that. Like, look what, it's all around us. If we weren't so deluded by these people who have taken our knowledge and our symbols, these people, do you think that the first eye on top of the pyramid, the first eye of Ra or any of that come from some Hollywood Grammy show and meant what they do in Hollywood? I mean, it's not even possible. It's just when you take someone's symbolism of power and then you relate yourself to it, which is what Adam Weishaupt and the rest of these societies strove to do. That's why they have all the Egyptian symbolism everywhere. Not that they're practicing the Egyptian system. It's too complex for them. It's because they are trying to associate themselves with something that triggers in our mind as power, because it was all symbolic. There's not actual real people. That they're, when they're saying Maat, they're not talking about just a dark black woman. That's the as below nature of it. It's talking about the blackness of the sky, which they call mist. It's the mystical. It means in any term, chem, as in chemistry, the blackness, because chemistry is to study the mystery of the chemical. The mystery of the blackness, which is the carbon. The carbon produces the nanos. Carbon produces the buckyball. Carbon produces the diamond. Humans are carbon-based life forms. Do we need to smack you in the face to let you know that carbon is obviously something very important to our existence? But if we keep, oh, well, carbon is a hexagram, and that's Saturn, and that's the lead, and that's the death, and that's the, and then here we go sounding like we've watched a little bit too many scary movies. That we've been actually really mind controlled and programmed to believe that everything is out to kill us and destroy us and hurt us, when as a limitless being all itself, you'll have to face it anyway, 180 degrees and 180 degrees again, until you realize I need to get out of the circle. I need to get out of the cycle. I'm tired of the spell and also the circles within circles. As they say, spiders weave not thy webs here. They're saying that there is the craft, witchcraft, that people use with the ritual, which walk you people walking in the circle. Let's come sit in the circle. It's because this is an old knowledge that it's so interesting that it's remained so secret. As secret as the pentagram. When they say, well, what does the pentagram mean? Most people still don't know what the pentagram means. As to, they don't know what the circle means, because the circle is the pentagram. 72 degrees times 5, right? So there we get, okay, what is the mystery behind the circle? It's the craft, and it's perfect. This means that if you watch nature, nature will always produce the same results. It's perfect. So if we learn from it and somehow emulate it, then we can create perfect circles. Now, we need to ask ourselves after a while, and that's why I said thinking outside of the circle, do we really want to create, keep doing the circular thing? Do I want to keep getting into arguments with people who think I'm here to hurt them when I sit pretty much in a room distributing knowledge and meditating all day? I'm not even out in the streets. I'm not doing anything. And people still got something to say. Right. So but then what about the ones who are also just still trying to put their knowledge out there, and they don't have such a flawless record of victories? You see what I mean? So it's because we're dealing in a system to where people have another half. Now, this is what you learn when you start reading between the line on some of the old Vlack. It's V-L-A-C-H, Vlack magic, okay? When they start saying their rituals, they start with man is only a half man. This means we're half of who we are until we collect our other side.
That's what it's all about. We'll be right back. You know, Seven, you mentioned we're not whole until we find our other half.
And I was just about to say, well, Chris is my other half.
Aww. See, we think the same.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. Like, she'll crave pizza. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, ugh. Do you want to order pizza? How do you know I was thinking that? Because you're tapped into the same frequency.
Yeah. And isn't always good. Which isn't always good for you.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So, Seven, take us away.
Well, for sure. I mean, obviously, I'm elated off today's conversation. I'm barely even getting started, though, just so people know. Like, I haven't even began about this. And, it may embody a little bit more. We may have to do it a little bit later. But, so there's four of you. You know, I will chime in on that. And, just to pick up from where we left off, because it's very important about understanding this half, because this wasn't the first time I heard it or heard about it. And finally, when I put two and two together, literally, I got the true transmission of what actually goes on. And it's this other half, which is generally associated with the shadow, is actually, let's say, the kind of being that it doesn't deal with lies. It doesn't lie to itself. It can't load a program. So the only thing that it actually really understands is energy, because that's all there really is. So unfortunately, if this other half is not trained on how to pull energy from higher sources, this could be the same thing as a person deciding to switch from meat to being a vegetarian, or switch from vegetarian to eating light. You could go up more sources of your consumption, let's say. And then the purer you take in, this means that if there's no sun gods and evangelicals and evangels blocking your way, you can pull energy directly from the source. Now, it's interesting because the ones that we're talking about right now, they can't actually pull energy from the source. They depend on you to do that. You pull the energy from the source, and then they take it from you, just like the enzymes work. They can't process the sun. It's too powerful for them. So when you take it in your body, and then you start to process it through your alchemical vessel, then they can juice you for it. And how they juice you for it through this rituals of the circles is basically by getting your other half, who's basically sold itself. And this is some deep stuff, but you need to know. It sold itself for energy, just like people sell their souls for money. But they say, we're just talking about time. We're not talking about something so spooky as it sounds. We're talking about if you have to spend all your time working for money, you kind of sell yourself short. It just happens that way when time is the real currency. So what happens is that this other side of us, it has contractual agreements in a tent to what we would call the superior of our being. These are our urges. This has nothing to do with too much of the external, more so as the internal, to which chakras actually demand energy from you, and to a point where you can't be that wellspring for them. See, when we're on the top of this pyramid or prism, we're at unlimited power, so we can drive unlimited power into the lower worlds and into the seeds infinitely. Okay? But if you come off that process, you'll still have a cosmos, but your cosmos will turn dark because it will pull energy from you. Your chakras will demand more energy, and they will get it through even flesh and mostly through conflict. Because remember, energy has a lot to do with confliction arguments, which R means fire. Okay, so to get the fire going, what happens is the other half, which you can't see, its power is it's a shadow. It's invisible. It will try to start conflicts or get other people to send their energy to it, mainly the negative kind of energy. Okay, so this is the simple thing that goes on. It could be someone coming in the room saying something to you like, oh, you need to stop looking at that book. That book is stupid. And then you just come completely out of your in-depth frequency and like, stupid is not reading anything. I mean, look at you. Okay, bam. Now it's got you. It's so easy. This spell is hardcore. Like when we were looking at the design of this thing, it's because, see, what happened was English never became perfect. It was missing a word, hence the term the lost word. Once that happened, English is basically corrupt. It's a war language. It has a blinking cursor. It's not whole. This means it's two. So two means that, okay, well, what do I do next? What comes next? Type in me. Give me something to say. See, that's the blinking cursor. whole, which is a trinary being, is whole. It doesn't have any questions. It doesn't need to talk to anybody. It doesn't, because it has, it was built to be complete. See, when we began, we were complete. And then through the division, which has happened several times, that's why I was saying these layers. Now, when you see the layers on the pyramid, they're explaining to you the different levels of division of people who've cut themselves off from the source. And then the source, of course, being themselves. And a lot of people scar and bruise themselves up climbing this mountain because of, they keep getting to this other concept that becomes their God and their Lord. They rise themselves on the spindle. They just got out of one dogmatic system only to land into another one that they can't realize is actually the same thing, but it's just under a different disguise, as above as so below. But the frequencies even change colors. Color, meaning how fast something is vibrating, determines whether you see it as red, blue, green, period. So this means everything right here on a couple more frequencies up looks blue. And all the other correspondences invert themselves, basically. They diametrically oppose. And then all of a sudden, if you're not balanced, you're thrown off guard. Because now everything is opposite to how you used to perceive it. And this person is headlong, just like that five base card on the masonry deck, is headlong going down the tunnels of time through these doors, which are circles. So this is how a person gets trapped in more circles and more circles and more circles, and to the point where they're like binded. And they say, that's why they say one ring. The ring is the circle. One ring will rule them all. And in the darkness of their ignorance, your ignorance about your other half, your ignorance about mistaking your friends for your enemies, all of that, all of what we just talked about, that is what you'll be binded in. And then you'll be like Gulliver, which is one of the mythical tales of a person being so gigantic, but held down by all these little straps of these different minions who are trying to basically subdue Gulliver, the gullible, which is what's going on this dimension. Gullible in a sense to, because human beings, when they didn't receive their full knowledge from their mother, Ma'at, then they're stuck in this 13-year-old phase. This is where the bar mitzvahs and all this stuff takes place, because the average human being on the westernized program, which is Hebrew and all its subdivisions, Yiddish and all its subdivisions, are about 13 years old. And this is because they've accepted this entity, this eidolon, as their superior. This is what they call God. The moment that one does that, it's symbolic, it's geographical. They immediately place something on top of them and they become down in the bottom. And then from that point, such happens as what Chris was just talking about. They say, why are you doing all of that? Somebody else did it for you. Now, that's the true malevolent behavior. Why are you letting somebody else do something for you? And you got to do it yourself. That's the only way you can get it. There it is.
Absolutely.
You can have anything you're willing to work with.
Very well said. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Much more with Sevan Bomar right here on True Frequency.
You can listen from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. That's 832-225-5308. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We're really moving at light speed this evening, but what other speed is a light being going to move at? And so we're just going to continue to just blaze through this information. Of course, Jonathan will be joining us for a roundtable discussion at the top of the hour. So, Seven, let's blast off again.
No doubt. So, staying right on this because, you know, again, we're only grasping this because what you're about to see is you're about to see yourself. Like, this is not about, some people, they set themselves up. They want to find the person to blame. But I even told you the 13-year-olds that are running around here with phenomenal cosmic power they don't know anything to do with are also a product of the genetics themselves not being what we would call cultivated properly. This was what they call the first sin. It's all symbolic. They're saying that when the genes are not cultivated properly, you can produce a Cain. So they're talking again about chemicals. They're talking about a lot of different things. It's just, are we going to read it on the surface level, a land dweller level? Or are we going to go on to another expanded state and then interpret it from there? Because if it has anything to do with truth, because if people resonate to something, that means it has some truth. Now you got to be the miner though. This is the whole crazy part. You got to now go in and dig out the truth. Don't think the truth is going to be on the surface. You're going to be dealing with nothing but dirt for a while until you finally get into that mineral. And so what this is about is I'm going to show you how this all ties in. So basically what the lost word is in the beginning there was the word. Now they tell you right there that the word was with God. The word was God. Okay. So first of all, I started realizing, I can probably learn a little bit from this God character, maybe about how he maybe don't even care about what's going on. This is why you start to track yourself. Let me show you. So what happens is you start realizing, man, what's God doing anyway? Like, after all, there's like people killing each other. There's raping going on. And God's supposed to have all this power. And God's doing nothing. This doesn't make any sense. What the hell? And then you can go Jedi mind trick yourself and say, well, God said he's going to deal with it all on one day. Instead of like dealing with everyone every single day, it's just going to be this one day. They're going to call judgment day. And God's going to deal with everyone because everyone's going to hell. Okay, there's people who buy into that. Then there's the other people that say, well, no, there's a system called karma and dharma. And every single day, there's like a check and a balance system. Or not even every day, but some once in a while, whatever you do, it'll come back, right? So people are just, shooting in the dark about it. And today start realizing that, well, let's think about what we're talking about here. If in these texts, what it says is that basically God is not on earth, okay, that God is always the one missing out of the equation on two-dimensional planetary or binary planetary systems. When you come to binary planetary systems, what you will find missing, now, mind you, they call these systems perfect, God won't be there. God will be in the sky. God will be anywhere but here. And this is how you're dealing with this reality right now. You tell people where God is, they just go all off into the sky. It's because what they did was, the programmers, was make God in our consciousness a ghost. This is called the ghost God or the shadow, the one who's missing. Okay? This is also even known as the Holy Ghost, which makes up the feminine aspect. And as we said, when we look beyond just males and females, we look at the aspect of the female. What is the female? It's the motherboard. It's actually what can receive power from the solar system and then actually generate with that power and fully process. So this means that that part of you would be missing. That is the ghost. That is the God that is gone. Okay? So then what you get is you get then this imperfect state of your consciousness. This is what we talked about before about English, not actually because it's missing this lost word, because it's missing the keys to nature, then what it turns into is it turns into a malevolent form. This is what we have as our other half. Okay? And that's why I'm saying, like, if you're trying to disassociate, if you're into the escapism, and then you try to let that, something like that, just run off. Like, okay, yeah, now I identify it. There's these dark beings running around the planet that only have a certain state of their consciousness, and they're out to get us. You're still not Avatar yet, then. All that Avatar you keep talking about, all that Bodhisattva you keep talking about. I mean, all these particular names in iconic profiles equal someone who actually can bring light to that. Even some of the most oldest texts in the Islamic tradition talk about if you wreak knowledge and wisdom, then there's other lower life forms that you call demons that can learn from you, and then they can even repent. That's what it says in these books. So we're saying that there's nothing that can't be done. The solution comes before the problem. But are you really here to solve this? And the truth is, can you deal with your other half? That's why in the movies, they show you that when it's time for a person to deal with their other half, it's become so monstrous and crazy and fiendish that they are afraid of it, because it's like everything that they think they won't do, even though every time they go to bed, they go into another phenomenon, which I've now uncovered completely, which I call sliding. And sliding is basically when the quantum system that we saw in Kemet went down and then the new one went up. That's the new world that they keep talking about. This is where supercomputers are everywhere. This is money. Money, okay, computers are just zeros and ones, okay? Zero and one. Money comes in the form of a zero and a one. There's a dollar, which is a straight line on those edges, right? And then you got your coin. That's a circle. So that's binary. You got your Bible, because Bible means, bi means a bo, as in Bob. Bib is in Bob, which is a circle, and L, which is a straight line. Okay, another zero and a one. So all the stories from every single tradition that ever is encompassed within that system is all designed around a binary code of energy. Energy loss and energy gain. That's what the whole book in its purest form is about. It's a book of energies. So what we need to learn is once again, that this is a pyramidal-based system. It is top-down, meaning that you can climb up the ladder or you can do like the person Chris was talking about, oh, I'll let somebody else do it for me. And then the pressure builds as others are accelerating. Or you're decelerating, because think about it. Somebody could be on this low level, but if you're going down too and you happen to go by them, they're going to be on top of you eventually. And this is the kind of structure that we're now living in, because why? We refuse to accept that we are the gods. Now, I'm making it all encompassing so no one feels guilty, but I need to explain to people very clearly that we're talking about the degenerization and reparticleization of your entire being. So we're not talking about namaste, love and light. Let's go into the room. Let's sit around. How you feel? I'm great. Go ahead and breathe some more. We're not just talking about that. We're talking about, oh, my God, shit just disappeared. I wonder if I'm going to die. We're talking about that. That's adepthood. That means that, okay, now one is done playing around out of the safe zone. See the crab side of us in the zodiacal wheel, okay, is the planet. It holds us inside. We stay inside of our shell because it is dangerous out there. Just like Achille Ili will tell you, the reason why we have powers and abilities is because if you happen to, when going through the discs, run into Praying Mantis, don't be surprised if Praying Mantis is not ready to meditate. That's why we have certain abilities. Our strongest abilities is we can shine as resplendent as the sun. So at core, not even the one we're seeing in the sky, but core. And so this means that, see, nothing can stand in the face of that. So there's no lots of things to learn. And, you know, that's all the deprogramming part of things, which is necessary. But truly, in our own mind, the image nation, when we can emit our own light, which is what you see when you close your eyes, when you go into these states of consciousness, as I say, the chakra activating consciousness, whatever you're using to do that. When you close your eyes, you see the lights are still on. So there's a way you can turn those lights up. So let me explain to you really briefly once again that the motherboard is Maat. The circuits are the straight lines that exist between the connection of the stars, which are so hard for humans to see right now because of the chemtrails and all the light pollution and all the stuff that they've created. They can't see what stars actually really do connect. But when you get into the other stage, you'll see actual lines that connect the stars, because that is the same as what you will witness on the motherboard, the connection between the systems.
Well, it's funny you mention that. We see some of these ancient sites set up like a motherboard. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that right on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Throughout history, as I've done in the last couple of months very intensively, especially the Egyptian culture, their methods of architecture directly reflect the inner workings of the human body as well as the workings of the cosmos. And I think that's what we were getting into in the last segment with Seven, our guest, about how all there's so many different temples that correspond to the inner workings of the human body or the cosmos or even both. I mean, the temple of man For instance, I believe it's a temple at Karnak in Egypt is a prime example of this. It not only is aligned with the stars, but it also tells the story of a person's life walking through the temple. And every part of the temple corresponds to a certain part of the body. It's amazing. Seven, what are your thoughts?
It's give us a lot of insight to what we're talking about, because we talk about the microcosm a lot. And the only thing that people need to do is understand that that's the microcosmos. And that, you know, when you're in your clearest form of thought, if you just happen to pop up into one, you know, the greatest stage that you wish to reach is to actually feel yourself and to be a cosmos. And what we saw is we saw that there is an external and an internal way to do that. You know, that's what the whole, you know, again, this as above, so below thing is really hinting to. And what our ancestors were capable of doing, because they understood the relationship between carbon and silica, which we call silicone glass, you know, crystals in its purest form being a perfect lattice of what we would say is a hexagon, but it's a perfect field of carbon. And when you get those two together, how it becomes a world, like it's, you know, it's like, boom, it's a whole nother different level of what we're yet to understand, just as people, they still don't realize, well, how do the lights get to the screen again? And like, why am I seeing this picture? And how can I talk to you over radio waves? Like, okay, so you're over there and I'm over here. So, because somebody explains something to you, like the reason why we can talk right now and you're on your cell phone, I'm on my cell phone, because these radio waves go from the cell phone, they go and they cross through a couple towers, the towers, then send it to the phone. So some people, they believe, well, actually quite a few people, they believe if they hear that, now they understand how it works. You can't actually ever understand how it works until you actually become that form of communication and you go through those cell phone towers and then you come out on the other side of that person's phone, which is what you're capable of. But to say you know something, you have to experience it. So the truth is that the connections of different elements here on the planet, the moment that they're together in the right type of correspondence, they do their own thing. This is what the MEs are. In the Sumerian text, they talk about the MEs, which are memories and their languages. This is, see, people need to, okay, let's step back for one moment and just realize for one damn moment, something of this complex nature, there cannot be something else up there that's not watching this, got interest in this, and already beyond what this even is. You see what I mean? Like, you have to, like, that's like 101. You can't even begin before you realize that there's another more advanced level of intelligence. And 9 times out of 10, if you bumped into it, it wouldn't even be in a physical body. It wouldn't be limited to physical bodies. It wouldn't look like human. It could take on any form. Before you even started coming, it would already know you were on the way. And this is in respect to what's here, not in reverence to whatever that is, but in respect to back engineering bodies, back engineering the sun for a moment. Like, what? What are we? I mean, this is not something that you can say, well, I don't know if it's people acting, or I don't know. Go dig in the ground then. Go look under a bark or piece of bark on a tree and witness the splendor for one moment, to come into a aha moment that, hey, there is several levels up to this. This is not being left alone, but it's perfect. Which anyone who's ever sat in one of those circles before of the ceremony with the mother, they see that. They see this paramount level of perfection, and it's because it's 360 degrees. Now, see, what we call perfect in our consciousness from our program is 180 degrees, because we only believe the good part is perfect. We don't believe, well, and I'm making this all inclusive, that you got to tear this thing down. I got to rip all these wires out. I got to break this system down to actually build it up again. Mm-hmm. But when you start realizing that, that's when your power comes in, because that's the component that's missing.
Yeah, it's not
that's
all.
That's what they say.
It's not all about the Shakti. There's the Shiva as well, right?
Exactly. You know, they say everyone want to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. I mean, even some of the shortest sentences can tell you the state of consciousness of a minor. And then, because remember, the miner is actually moving in a specific direction. And what we need to understand is that probably what we're looking for now is to switch it up. That we want to not only get a good feeling of what it's like to have unlimited energy, but then also to put ourselves into a passive or neutral stage. I'm not talking about something that can be realized from within a planet. See, this is the thing. This is the trick to language. Now, let's say, for instance, since I say there's another 180 degrees to the circle, and that means that basically everything you don't like, the darkness, whatever. Sometimes people will go, and most of the time people will go on a tangent and attempt to try to interpret what's outside of all of this based on the integers of what's inside of this. Just because of statements like, as above, so below. What happens when you get out of this is what's already been discovered. The frequency and the wavelength goes to a level that nothing is the way it seems. It's like, meaning that you see your worst enemy as the greatest being. Like what, everything is upside down, basically. All of the neg is, because that's where we're at now. See, if we can't accept that, what part of the pyramid we're on based on how much we know. If I tell you, you eat light, you don't eat food. And a person says, man, you can't eat just light, homie. You'll die. See, this is the different stages of where a person can reach and has not reached. Now, we're still dealing with a world that 95% of people cannot fathom what we're talking about because they are yet to have their quickening. Now, if you're the sun king, sun queen, whatever, your people already worship the sun. What does this mean? This means that you had understood the perpetualness of the cosmos and that if you only interface with truth, which you'll always find, it's unavoidable. That's why the sun is like unavoidably there, because you're never going to be able to snuff out truth no matter where you go. But you can mind control people. You can block them off from their source. And see, the same thing that we talked about with the flat earth, you have to do the same thing here. I'm telling you, people are thinking I'm also talking about the physical sun in the sky. But the reason why the sun is called the soul, which is different than the spirit, the reason why it's called the soul or the sun, which is soul, is because it's actually, we're talking about what's within, what's in the depth. When you finally, as a tunneler and a driller working in these damn mines, because look, I'm doing time here. Serious. You like, people need to wake up. We're doing fucking time here. This is Saturn. They say Saturn in time. So, okay. So we're in time. I'm getting older over here. Why? Because I'm cut off. This is what people have to start realizing. You're cut off from your energy source. What is our energy source? Well, energy is the truth. So what shines more truer than any damn thing? I'm sure if that's not it, it knows. See, that's what I had to come up to the conclusion of. It's like, I'm not trying to be a sun worshiper in the tense of trying to go back to bowing down to something. But what I'm saying is I got to go meet that. Or see whatever that is, because it probably knows more than what's going on here. And it's alive. It's not some light bulb with batteries being refracted. All the different shit that they keep coming up with, excuse my language.
Seven, you got to watch it, man. I mean,
but that was only a couple of them. I heard.
I know, but I got to go back and edit them now and, you know, all kinds of stuff before I send them to
AM. It's just a couple of them. But, I mean, the emphasis is there. The emphasis is added. And it's because either we can play around in this, and this is all I'm trying to get across to people. Okay, perfection. When you know everything about this and you become an adept, you'll see the 360 degrees and you'll see the circle close. You'll know that it's perfect. So it will always attract. People are attracted to perfection. So this means that this is not something that you're ever supposed to realize is going on, is what I'm saying. People are not supposed to realize that they're actually inside of a matrix.
Okay, let's pick it up in the third hour. And in the third hour, we're not on AM and FM, so it's no holds barred there. Give us your websites one more time, please. Give us your websites one more time, please.
Okay, secretenergy.com and astroquest.com.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Live from the city above the clouds, off the peaks of the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie Geo. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Let the rhythm be your guiding light.
Bearing the light into the darkness, it is hour number 3 right here on Truth Frequency. Just after midnight on the East Coast. We're joined by Jonathan. We're going to bring him on here in just a few moments. And I have this clip from Louis C.K. I was just watching some of his stand-up comedy yesterday. And I'm going to go ahead and play it because I think it's really going to resonate with people. And it's so true, too.
I hate environmentalists. But that's what people get angry at environmentalists because they think they're slowing down the economy and creating restrictions. And a lot of these people are Christian. A lot of these people are very devout Christians. And that's such a confusing thing to me, that if you believe that God gave you the earth, that God created the earth for you, why would you not have to look after it? Why the fuck? Why would you not think that when he came back, he wouldn't go, what the fuck did you do? I gave this to you, motherfucker. Are you crazy? The polar bears are brown. What did you do to the polar bears? Did you shit all over every polar bear? Who did this? Who spilled this shit? Who spilled this? Come over. Did you fucking spill this? What is that?
It's oil. It's just some oil. I didn't mean to spill.
Well, why did you take it out of the fucking ground?
Because I wanted to go faster. I'm not
fast enough. And I was cold. What the fuck do you mean cold? I gave you everything you needed, you piece of shit.
Well, because jobs.
What is a job? Explain to me. What's a fucking job?
You go, like, you work at a place, and when people call when their game doesn't work, and you help them figure it out.
What do you do that for?
For money.
What do you need money for?
Food.
Just eat the shit on the floor. I left shit all over the floor. Fucking corn and wheat and shit. Grab it and make some bread. What are you doing?
Yeah, but it doesn't have, like, bacon around it. And, like, I like when it has, like, bacon on it. And
that guy's hilarious.
Yes.
But, you know, these stand-up comedians, they're basically philosophers. And they, well, the good ones. There's some that are just idiots. But, you know, they really ring true in a lot of the things that they say. Carlin was another one that was really, really funny.
Oh, yeah. The world lost a gem the day that he passed on.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Really.
But a lot of these people are in tune. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not in tune, the things that they're saying are in tune.
Right.
Signifying that something higher is working through them at the very least. So, we have Jonathan on the line with us, and there's something higher working through Jonathan for sure. Jonathan, how are you doing, sir?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Excellent. Good, good, good. Glad to have you on with us. I know you've been eager to chime in, so take us away.
Well, like everything's Sivan. Is it Sivan or Seven? I say Sivan.
Oh, man, it's either way. You know, it could be both.
You say okay, Sivan, right? I say Seven, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that song. All right. You know, what you're saying, I mean, it not only resonates with me, it's what I'm living right now. I recently activated the Kundalini Awakening in myself. The first time I had it was when I was 22. It was a spontaneous one. And it was activated by the words, I pray for death, give me a shamanic death. And then bam, it just happened all the way up through the crown. I didn't know what Kundalini was at that time. So what it culminated over the next 5 months was just incredible waves of psychic and enhancements and strength and everything and revelations like you're speaking of. But then because my body couldn't understand or interpret it properly or take that frequency and bring it down to the earthly level, the lower vibrations, I finally went into the hospital for 14 days or 10 days to where my brain was so far advanced, I guess. The guy did an EEG on me and says, hey, you should be sleeping right now, but your EEG is showing, you know, delta waves and you're wide awake. What's going on? I said, I can't explain it to you, but I'll say it this way. When most people go to sleep in order to dream big, right? But when you're living the dream, why sleep? And when you're awake, like Sivan's talking about, when you're clear It's not just free-form thought. It's that you're connected to everything. You're just fully awake at all times. You recognize the truth. You recognize lies. You recognize other people's stories. You recognize dialogue of emotions that are locked up in the body. It's just, even when he was talking about the 180 degrees and 360 degrees, I'm thinking some people don't even think that way. When they think that you're thinking the periphery of 360 degrees, they put the circle around them in one plane of existence, like around the X axis. But it is going all around us in every dimension, including on the outside of it. And yet at the same time, it's all within the center. So there really is no 360 degrees. It's all internal and it's all one. Am I interpreting that correctly?
You're spot on, man. And it's so paradoxical because it challenges us to look from, inside and outside simultaneously to make the triplicity, which is triangulation. You know, we see this, in so many other aspects of things. If we don't triangulate, as much as, it's just such a challenge, to bring everything into some kind of meaning. And that's really what it all is the miner must even take. As I was saying earlier, I'm going to clean up the last part of the conversation, but it was because my mind was triggering me to explain something that I really came encounter of.
Oh, no, you can cuss here, Seven. The third hour is fine. It's just first and second.
I really keep it clean, but it was coming out because it was like, basically, talk about this shit. And I was like, okay, I get it now, because this was what, I really saw. And it's that, okay, so the excrement. Okay, as they say, the clip, this means the excrement. So it's whatever the byproduct is of something. So you have a byproduct of this planetary existence. And the interesting part, though, is that just like they tell you, without bacteria, we wouldn't have actual physical life as we know it. And it's because our bodies do the same thing. They take in certain things, but the minerals are processed by our enzymes. And then what we actually eat is the excrement of the enzymes, because other than that, we can't actually process metals to the level that they're actually on until you actually move up to that level in your alchemical transmutation of your own consciousness to where you can actually hold a crystal or hold some titanium and start interfacing with the energy there. And then it keeps going up. But our ancestral connection of this entire planetary system taught us to, if you can't do it, basically, something else can. All you have to do is find it. And we could even take insects, let's say, and let the insects eat the gold. There's insects or worms that actually eat the gold. And then they take it through their organic alchemical vessels, as we talked about in our alchemy courses, how all the tubes and bulbs and all the stuff that you see in alchemy are actually at the same proportion of the organs from inside of the body to bring about what they know is basically the height of all alchemical transmutations, which is turning something like, as we talked about earlier, a cheeseburger into the seed of life, whether it's the semen or the egg. But then even deeper than that, when they try to do it externally, never actually finding that level of the knowledge, but of course finding the knowledge that's created Merck and Pfizer and these medical companies about, basically taking God's formula, if you may, and creating synthetic versions of it and then selling it back to people, in quantities. So, which is how the medical industry runs itself. So this knowledge, it continues to confirm itself. But just as a friend was just emailing me earlier, we're like, okay, but if we're going to get into this last stretch, we definitely need to start talking about, so how do you get out of this? Because that's a big part of this. Some people want to go, some people want to stay. Me, I tend to do both. But the reality is it's good to be free flowing in your process. And so I just want everyone to gain from this conversation of realizing, as you start to connect it all together, that that means that every problem actually has one solution then. And when you can start collapsing all of this into that, then you start realizing that solution exists even before the problem, as the sun exists before any shadow, then you're basically packing up. And that's kind of in that packing up process, we find that the vibrational frequency raises. That's exactly what goes on when a lot of people go into their higher state of consciousness or have their experience, is that they start pulling in all their selves that, are strung out with the wife or the girlfriend or the boyfriend or, strung out at the job or strung out across something that happened to you when you were little. And they bring themselves present into that moment. But as they're collecting themselves, if they get to a certain point, it actually gets a little out of control. It's like the car cuts on and you can't cut it off. And this could be very scary. And generally, just like the brother John was saying, you end up in the crazy house. I spent one day there. And, you know, I was in, because it's so overwhelming, the power and the ability that you realize you have in your own being, and it, as far as you realizing truth and the happiness of finally feeling what that's like. And so to you, the only thing that the world needs to see is how that all works and what it actually equals. And then, you know, a slight delusion, too, because the brain is, you know, it's slipping gears. And so but it's interesting because the strongest of us can come back from that. And ground and start grounding. Like it took me one day because after I realized they were going to actually lock me up for real, I was still conscious enough to be like, my friend said, hey, the lady's going to come in and do the evaluation one more time. But she said, based on what you told her last night, that you had captured God in your PlayStation, that they're already writing you off. And what I was referring to is that I had, in my awakening process, I had taken a PlayStation and the camera that comes with PlayStation, and there was a little camera program, and I mirrored the camera. It has a setting to where you can make everything mirrored. You can parallel everything. And then, obviously, because there's another half to the reality, you start actually seeing in the camera other things, but in their complete form, not just as halves. And this gets us to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. And so as we begin to raise the vibration in the room, which again was through the mantra, then all of a sudden you could start seeing other things. And so I had actually, and I still have those recordings, they're just really crazy, but I could actually see within those recordings that there were other life forms in the room, but you couldn't see them with the physical eye, but I had captured them on camera. And I thought that would be the greatest thing for everyone to know, but that will land you in the crazy house.
Can I say something to this?
Yeah.
It's incredible what you're saying, but I have to be honest with you. Like, I don't know which audience you're speaking to, because I'm following what you're saying, but I feel like you're really like stuck in the crown, or, you know, in the Godhead. You're so far advanced that you have this free form thought that you're seeing all the connections all at once. But what I hear in your voice is that you're not bringing it down to the grounding to then separate them all, right? So that people can better integrate it. Cause your experience is true. What you're speaking is absolute truth. But it's so elevated, I don't think it's hitting everybody at the same time. Like, I'm following what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel it, brother. I mean, this is year 7. So, you know, I kind of let everyone refer back to some of the previous recordings of the adventure. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why I give the disclaimer before the conversation of when I come on these kind of sessions, I go into the depth level. Because we do have people that have been following along with their own experience and have reached a certain point in real time. And generally, I convey that message in real time. That's how I do it. And then what they do generally is, not only do they understand it just like you understand it, they also break it down further and, you know, do what they do with it. Because right. Let's face it, you know, if we could talk about the, you know, core truths, which we all know, and we have to practice those truths every day. So it's great to be reminded of them, and it's great to stay on accord with that. But because we're still in something that we can know is limitless and feel is limitless, then at times, since we're still in this limited plane, it's great to hear the interactions that we have from this level. People, what I would say is that we drive each other that way. Because it's like, that's the same thing that I saw. That's the same thing that I experienced.
Can I start with something really basic, though? Can I demonstrate this over the air?
For sure.
Shri, Savan?
Okay. I mean, we got through a bulk of things today. So, yeah. I mean,
I've been listening to the whole show. I've been listening to the whole program. Like, recently I've been telling people, you know, the whole mind, body, spirit mantra. And I'll ask people, like, what does that mean to you? So, like, Chris, what does mind, body, spirit mean to you?
It's hard to put into words, but mind, body, spirit would be everything working in unison.
Okay. That's what most people say. They'll usually say words like unison or integration or whatever. It's an integrated aspects of self into one. But can you then convey it in such a way that I'll understand it the way you understand it? You just gave me a cerebral answer because I asked you, but can you make me feel it the way you feel it?
I'm not quite there yet. It's a constant struggle. It's the journey that I'm on to try to balance all three together.
Okay, what if I'm there and I can explain it in under a minute to the whole entire audience? So it's every demographic, every socioeconomic level. I'll speak in a way known as truth so that it is universal and not of the mind.
Okay, ready, set, go.
Time the minute. So if you put out your hand, if you're in front of me, I would say to you, can I see your hand? You put your hand out. I'd say, close your eyes. And then I would tap your fingers. And I'd say, what am I doing? You'd say, tap my fingers, right? Then I would take your hand and I'd flip it over with your palm up and I would start to draw a circle in it with my index finger. And I would ask you, what pattern am I making? Now, nobody gets this wrong. They always say a circle. Do you got that visually?
Got it.
Okay. Then I ask them, where am I drawing this circle? Where do you feel this? And they would go ahead and say, in my hand, which is true. Then I would ask them, where do you perceive this? Keyword, perceive. Now, some people get stumped by this, but the correct answer is in the mind, because you can only perceive patterns in your mind. Okay? Everybody knows a circle. We learned that when we were children. So that's a universal thing. Now, I'm just showing you a connection between the mind and the body, the first part of this exercise. Do you understand so far?
Got it.
If I had drawn a squiggly line and the person said a squiggly line, but specifically I was drawing the Ganji or the Kanji for water, let's say in Japanese, a Japanese person would say, oh, I know what that is. That's water. Everybody knows that because we learn it when we're kids. Okay? Now, I'm explaining this to you. I'm probably about 45, 50 seconds into this. Did you understand every word I said?
I did.
What medium am I speaking in over the radio? Am I actually physically touching your hand?
No.
Am I challenging your mind with concepts that we're getting into an interplay of semantics where I have to identify a pattern in your brain so that it matches my own or vice versa so that there's peace and not conflict?
Yep.
Okay. So what medium am I speaking to you over the radio?
Through the mind,
body, or spirit?
Through the mind.
No, I'm speaking in spirit. When I broadcast, when I give you the concept, when I actually touch your hand, kind of like Helen Keller doing sign language stuff, she needed to touch a hand in order to know the letters that were being said, right? That's of the body. Touching the body is when you emote body to body. Speaking to your mind, I have to use patterns that then match your brain that you understand. That's of the mind. But universally, as I'm explaining to you, and I'm not touching you over the airwaves, I'm saying I'm touching you with my voice. That's of the spirit. This is why music, like Adele, right? When you're listening to Adele or any of your favorite music comes over the airwaves, you're feeling her. It does something where it creates emotion in your body. Maybe you want to dance. Maybe you want to cry. And then the words penetrate you. Why? Because of the carrier that it's coming on, which is the spirit. Now, if you look at those same words on a piece of paper without the name Adele and the name of the song, and you say, wow, these are nice words, but what does it mean? Is it somebody wrote a letter? Is this person sad? Like, I don't understand. As soon as you apply the third part of it, the spirit, it's the reason why music is the universal language that everybody gets. It doesn't matter, again, what socioeconomic level you're at, your education level, whatever. This is mind, body, and spirit in unison.
Seven, any thoughts?
I mean, man, I don't have any objections to that. I definitely believe. I'm a believer.
Let me go one more part to this, the important part. It's where people anchor their thoughts. See, a lot of people tend to anchor everything into their body. For example, weight loss, right? This is a common one. People say, I can't lose this weight. Because they've anchored that weight to their person their whole entire life. And they've made an emotional attachment to it as well. So the thing is how do I get rid of the weight or how do I go to the next part? A lot of people don't know how to cast out anchors away from them and place their future, which is actually rooted in the present, ahead of them, okay? So everything you want in the future has to take root in the present, and that's when you cast your anchors, okay? So now look straight ahead, maybe 6 feet ahead of you, and you cast your anchor, and that represents 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and I'm going to lose a certain amount of weight. You give it a time. Now you take your right hand and you say, this is my food addiction, chocolate chip cookies, and you bring it right up to your face, right in your nose. That's the chocolate chip cookie. Now what most people do, they'll say, well, I'm going to work out and I'm going to give myself a cheat day on Sunday. So they take that hand, that chocolate chip cookie, and they push it out maybe a foot away from their face. And that represents Sunday, a goal. If I get to that goal, I can cheat. Guess what? You've just given yourself permission to break that diet again so that on Monday you're still eating chocolate chip cookies. What I say is when that hand's right up to your face, you take that other hand, you look at it and say, wow, it's empty. This is the one that's in control and it's not holding the cookie. And you take it and you swipe that hand away from your face. And what do you see before you? Out in the distance, you see that anchor that you put there and your weight loss goal. What I'm saying is once you break the emotional connection to all the false patterns in your mind and the dialogue of the reactive mind, then your spirit takes over and your body becomes the vessel that it is. It's the same with the chakras. When you clear them out with the kundalini, it's a purification by fire. And what happens is your shadows and everything that's false has to come out and reveal itself. If you're stuck and you're resistant in a place of fear and you're not willing to apply unconditional love to each lesson, you will fail at that chakra level and repeat it until you learn it, or you will just not operate and function in the exercise. The kundalini will be too strong, and it will recess back into its coil. Well, does this make sense?
I think you might be confusing the spirit with the body a little bit more than you think, because
not to interrupt, but I think, you know, what he's actually still discussing, because, you know, we kind of got to that part of the conversation anyway, and this is also what we promised, you know, to deliver in the whole dissertation. It's actually the way out of the circle. I mean, right. It's actually the disconnect itself, you know, which is vital. And, you know, I always say this is that, you know, we have to do this, you know, everyone has their own schedule. You have to talk to people, and this is what you do. You know, it's a part of our being. And the interesting part is when you have to do it like every week, and you know, you got to come, you have to deliver, you know, it's like, I mean, we're walking through this. So we have some people that they just started, and then you may have been in it for 8 years and ready to, you know, even get out of it. But it challenges us. And I always call this third grade, to get back in there and to actually have another variation of basically the same thing, to be available for that person, to get them to see another angle at something that is very simple, but because of the deprogramming part, each time you're talking to someone different, you got 1,000 people on. And I understand what you're saying in a tense to John, that, you know, in try merging into truth, especially if you're like, okay, let's just get right to the point of this. See, this is one of those conversations like, okay, we got to the point, and life goes on, because it actually really does. And we find, okay, well, it's challenging me, or I'm challenging myself, which is what it becomes. And this is somewhat of a preference. I'm challenging myself to even go beyond why I'm dealing with my life here, that I'm going to continue because of, you know, discovering that peace and solace, which to me, if anything, comes when you don't talk. It actually comes when you know, you bring it all in and you shut it all down and you clip all the cables and you get into higher truths such as breathing and purifying your system. So you get there. But as we talked about before, you know, behold, the ladder comes up and down. You know, if we ascend, we must descend. As teachers, let's say, which are also being taught, we find in this time that we've been giving, this space, which I think is very sacred in itself, to find different variations. And I believe that even the people today, many of them resonated with what you just said, because it's drawing it all back in. And okay, it's like, all right, you know, the drums are beating, the trumpet's going off. Let's slow it down a bit and get back into it. So let's talk about now, what are we really here for? And let's tap into that from another aspect beside, here is, you know, the geometric structure and this is where you can find it, which, you know, Saturday night, it's great. And we're still talking about truths here, but we're also talking about, well, has someone extracted it for you completely so that way you could have it there in front of you and you can go right into the experience about what we're talking about?
Right.
Well,
are you just basically getting your philosophical rocks off on something new that is becoming a little bit more entertaining to you? So, I mean, and I say that all the time. Go ahead.
That's very well put. I wanted to get this in before we get too far off point. In my journey, you know, you talked about the pendulum swinging the other way, and that's exactly what happened. Back in July, August, I was at the highest vibration that I've ever been on, just on fire, and people were just attracted. I mean, we would go to the mall, for instance, and people would just come right up to us. Oh, my God, you know, I just need to talk to you guys. You guys are something special, et cetera, et cetera.
You're such beautiful people.
Yes. Then the pendulum started swinging the other way, and I just fell into this low, low, low frequency. But as the pendulum swung and then started to swing back, I realized that I need to get to a point to where the mind, body, and soul are working together, in the sense that if I want a steak, I'll go and eat a steak. I know not to eat a steak every single day, but hey, you know, it's that giving the body what it needs and what it wants as well. I mean, why deprive the body to focus more on one or the other? Because anyway it goes, you're off balance. And so I've come to a place to where I give the body what it wants. The body wants to go have fun sometimes. The body wants material stuff sometimes.
Can I say something to that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you weren't able to stay in that place, because you allowed the pendulum to swing back to the lower vibrations of what the body wants. Spirit already determined that it was coming in. It was the indwelling within you, correct?
Yeah, but the body's a third of the equation here.
Right.
No, it's
right.
not. What I'm saying is that's the problem. You're too stuck in the body. Well, everything. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say though that there is no keeping the pendulum from swinging back. That is the whole nature of the reality in which we are living in, is the duality of it all. And
there is no duality. That's where you're making the
mistake. But there is in this particular reality when it comes to our bodies and
the duality. The way we balance things when you move up into the oneness, like Savant's talking about. When you move up into the oneness of the thing of one truth, there's only one truth. There's unconditional love. Everything else is a false narrative. And so even the idea of duality is a false narrative. The extremes that we say, the dark and the light, they're one and the same. They couldn't coexist without each other. So there is no duality. There's just a shade of gray. And you're taking a perspective to say that's darker or that's lighter. It's just like a light falling off when you do photography. Depending on how strong the light, it could be very bright or it could fall off and create a shadow and a contrast.
Yeah, but personally... Personally speaking, my body was going – it was out of control. Like,
because it went too high.
Being denied – denying it meat.
Recently,
well, hold on. Listen. Denying it meat really put me in a state of the body was really freaking out. I was getting headaches. I was very nauseated. My mind was cloudy. It was affecting everything because the body wasn't getting what it needed. Once I gave it the meat, then it brought it back up to a place to where my mind can focus and then I can refocus on the spirit. There was nothing I could do about it. I mean, my body was demanding. I need protein. I need whatever's coming from that meat.
I don't disagree that your body didn't need certain sustenance, and if you feel that the meat was, you know, what that was, I agree with you. But all I'm going to say is this: what I've experienced integrating into this, and I did it differently this time. I had control over the experience. When they came through and channeled, they said, "Look, we're of a higher vibration, so there's things that we don't need inside your body in the lower density. One of which is sentient beings inside you." Now I'm a vegan. In the past 3 weeks, that wasn't my choosing. I love meat. I did. But now I'm realizing that I don't need other sentient beings to be inside me for the spirit to indwell. It's not judgmental.
I think what it is, John, is that, you know, because remember, like you're only talking to someone, you're talking to yourself. And what happened is that I realized that there is a certain point to where one actually does end up becoming comfortable of coming down the ladder and actually distributing the seeds amongst those life forms that are living down there, because when you get way up there, you realize that that actually is a major command, that there is a part of what is obligated from what you receive to redistribute back into the lower.
That's my specialty, by the way, taking very technical terms and bringing it down to lay terms. That's always been my specialty in life. But what I'm saying is I'm not staying stuck in a cerebral – I'm not even in a cerebral – I'm not staying in a Godhead state where I'm in this ecstasy that I can't bring it back down. That's the second part of a kundalini journey, is not just the way up where you're purifying and tap through the crown and go into the Godhead, but to bring it back down so you can have heaven on earth. What I'm saying is there's a balance and an equilibrium. It's not an extreme like a pendulum. You shouldn't lose one to the other. You have this constant connection all the way back down to the earth, and then you distribute it. What they were experiencing, what I've experienced even now, is where you walk places and people actually look in your eyes. They feel the energy of your voice and your conviction of your heart, and they look at you like you're a guru. They're transfixed, and they don't know why. It's because there's something that they recognize in you that they have within them that's asleep and dormant, but yet it resonates with that frequency.
But remember what I said? Watch out, because the pendulum swings the other way, just because it hasn't yet.
We're going to ask you again.
Yes.
Well, I think that we're all actually talking about the same thing, and it has a lot to do with how the wheel turns, because there was a lady that just recently, she's Qigong master for 30 years. I mean, you know, just extremely in tune person, not someone that you can just go right off as, hey, you haven't connected your stuff yet and blah, 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 get out of here. Cause you know, the work is sells for itself. But one thing that she did mention is that now at this stage to where she is, and she's, you know, 60, 70 years old, that unwavering 4 o'clock in the morning Qigong had become for her just as ritualistic and binding as many of the things that she sought to escape. And so now for her to not actually get up at that time, certain times, not to where you fall off balance, of course, but not to get up, actually allow her to maintain a balance. So I think that's also kind of what Chris is saying in a cheeseburger way, which is, you know, a crazy analogy in itself, but that, you know, when you're learning to balance the system, because, you know, nobody is, you know, claiming here to had already, you know, completely maintain the system, because you wouldn't be here.
Can I say something, by the way? I ate steak last Sunday, even being in this state. I went all the way up to the crown head, all right, the crown chakra. I did exactly what Chris did for one reason only, because I was here with Melissa and my son, and I was able to bring it down, like he said, so in order to feel. But because I have control over this whole process, I'm able to bring it back up or bring it down, depending on where I shift my consciousness. That's what I'm saying. There's no pendulum swing. Once you get control over this, and by control I mean releasing to it. Like Savon, if I were to ask you, I mean, you're so tapped in, you're so aware of so many things. You could probably be void of all these things and still be confident enough in who you are. You know yourself true and true that you would never lose the core being of who you are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that's going to challenge your beliefs because you're already integrated with it. Everything you're speaking of, the fact that you're letting all that into your stream of consciousness, it means none of those things challenge you. And that's why you're able to even rattle them off at the rate that you do. And you even slow it down for radio as fast as you go. It's like you're at such an accelerate, the lay person would not get it. They're not in that free flowing stream of thought and consciousness.
Yeah.
But yet you could release all that and still it would not diminish the whole being of who Savon is.
I mean, absolutely true. And it's only because, you know, I've experienced it. So I think that's what I mean.
Yeah.
What really separates the demarcation. And that's why even before the conversation, these words, because after a while, they're just patterns put into a line.
Of course.
They're only to keep saying the same thing. Hey, you still got to get on this path at some point. And even what John is talking about is quite far down there. So better get started now. It is simple and it tends to how perfect it is. But for one who is to travel the path, my personal preference has always been not to get them under the impression that it's going to be, you know, just a cakewalk, because in every intent, it's the deprogramming process that hurts so much. It's, you know, when we do the things that we already have grown beyond that frequency and we fall down into that stage, but truly fall down into it to where there's still the conviction, there's still the, oh, you shouldn't have that. And, you know, and so, because obviously there's a level to where, you know, that turns off, you know, we turn off that whole chatter and turn off the mind and get integrated into the being and pull ourselves in. So, but it's just, again, being on the radio, you get on every week, there's someone else that is ready to hear that message. And, you know, it's very unique because it's the universe's way, which is us, of getting messages to people who we wouldn't even be able to fathom would be either listening to this or hearing this right now. And sometimes because of the world's become so complex in itself, you know, it almost needs a complex solution. So even to maintain the attention, not saying that that's, you know, something you have to do, but, you know, the greatest teachers work on ways to implement whatever it is that they want to get across without having the person even know that that's what they're doing. I feel like that's the greatest teacher, is to take a person through an experience to where it's not, okay, when you get out of this, you're going to be enlightened or you're whatever is going to happen. But just to bring that about by sheer presence, which is, again, what you're talking about. When you can have that inside of you, then it's going to reflect in not only everything you do, but also on those that you're around.
Can I add one small thing to that? And exactly what you're talking about is how I channel when I work with people. They may come in for what they consider Reiki, but I tell them up front, I don't do Reiki. That's just to get you in the door, because that's something you can grasp and look up on the internet. What I do is something more, and what you're saying, I tell them all these things that Spirit tells me to tell them first. And I said, this doesn't make sense yet, but wait. And all of a sudden, the answer becomes crystal clear at the very end, and it ties it all together, and it integrates in them in one download. It's like a lot of times when you have to break past people's egos or their preconceived notions of things, they're operating off the reactive mind, which is a set of old patterns and ways of doing things, hence why they repeat the same behaviors, the same patterns, and they get stuck. But when they open their mind to what's new and new information, meaning that they have faith in the process, okay, all of a sudden now the universe can unfold before them in a different way, kind of like when you do ayahuasca or something like that, Chris. It's like you're not stuck in that rigidity of the what's normalcy. But your mind trips up to a state where anything is possible and Spirit is guiding the journey. Is that not true?
Yes. Once you let go, then.
Once you let go.
Yeah, the Spirit guides the journey for sure. When you come back to this plane, though, it's different because you are bound to the body. And what I've realized is it's like trying to run a car without giving it the gasoline that it needs or the oil or things like that. And you can say, well, I'm just the driver of the car and that's it. But the car still needs what it needs in order to function properly.
But can I say this about the body real quick with the body-mind spirit connection? Every body, our bodies included, always wants to be at rest, okay? Even an object on your desk or a tree out in nature, a body is always at rest. That's all a body can do. It's an inanimate corpse for the most part until it's filled with a soul. Okay, that's part of it. The second part is the mind controls the body. So guess what? You're laying there, you're taking a nap under a tree, all of a sudden you see a lion. And as soon as you see that lion, the mind says, run, right?
Right.
It's like a tree. A tree just sits there. It's a body. It does nothing. But guess what? If the wind comes along and blows it, then the leaves will blow and the arms will bend or whatever. You know, that's what I'm saying. The body is always at rest. It doesn't do anything. So when you have an emotional pattern that you put in the body, one of fear, the body shuts down. If you put one of love in it, it lights up. If you put one of sexuality and lust, then it's going to want to have sex. If you see what I'm saying? Desire. If it sees a pretty woman across the bar and she's winking at you, you're going to get up off your ass and you're going to go buy her a drink. So the body does nothing until it's told what to do. And unfortunately, people tell themselves the wrong narrative and the wrong dialogue, and they create these conditions on their body that don't need to exist. It's the lie that we're living. I'm too fat. I can't get rid of my weight. Then change the dialogue. Go ahead.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Good point.
One of the nice little 30-minute mantra that every morning. I mean, it's, you know, it's coming out like velvet, you know.
Hey,
I
brother,
mean,
if you and I talked off air, I got this so lock, stock, and barrel. I'm changing this world. I have a system right now of money that people haven't realized, and unfortunately, I can't even share it online. But I'll just say this. Let me just say this real quick, and then you guys can have the rest of the show. If you got money in your pocket, right, or you got money on your desk in a change jar or something like that, is that money being utilized?
No.
It's stagnant, right?
Right.
What is money and when you exchange it? What does money represent?
The way I see it, money represents energy.
Thank you. That's the correct answer. Okay, now, whether it's fiat or whatnot, fiat, of course, is a suppression. That's the slavery that they put on money. Islamic law or Sharia compliant law doesn't have usury. What they have is full reserve currency, meaning it has to be back something, a collateral. Imagine if the money that you had, that you possessed, didn't go into a bank where other people can lend it out, fractional reserve lending, but it could be constantly in circulation while at the same time being in a trust that belongs to you. How interesting would that be if everybody could utilize your money at the same time? I figured out a system that everybody can use everybody's money at the same time. So what you have is a one world banking system in circulation. And guess what happens? Let me say something. Sivan, you're 1 in 7 billion plus people on this planet, are you not?
Right.
And you're a unique individual, correct?
Yeah.
That makes you a precious commodity. And what do you do with precious commodities like the Hope Diamond or the Mona Lisa or anything like that? You invest in it and you put a lot of money into it. So imagine if we took money and we put it into each other and invested. What do you think the value would go up in? It would be exponentially incredible, right? Our value would go up. So when you have somebody in a ghetto or something, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. When people are poor, they're not just bereft of money. They're bereft of opportunity. They're bereft of education. They're bereft of themselves, their soul, their spirit. You see what I'm saying? It's slavery.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Right.
So there is that poverty mentality in the alternative media as well, that people should pay for everything out of their own pockets, everything should be free, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people don't want to contribute to help move things forward. It's a shame, but I think that mentality was instilled by the powers that be to keep people in that state that you're talking about.
Well, it's a fear mentality, and it's also that idea that there's not enough. I can give you an idea right now about manifestation where there's a law of abundance, but nobody knows what that is. Let me ask you a question, Chris. Which size shoe do you wear?
11.
I wear a 13, so I'm never going to go after your shoes. All right? I have plenty of size 13 shoes. You see
okay.
my point?
All right.
Let me go one step further. Sivan, do you like Lamborghinis?
Yeah, man. Who doesn't?
Would you like one? Would you like a Lamborghini?
Yeah, I mean, if I just got one and just plopped down, even though it would cause the greatest conspiracy ever.
All right, well, check
he's
it
got
out.
A Lamborghini.
Check it out, man. I'd like a four-wheel drive vehicle to go to Vermont and go skiing, so a Lamborghini is useless to me. There's your law of abundance. You can have your Lamborghini. I'm not going to compete with you. What I'm trying to say is this. I'm not going to say anything. It's already said.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right there. Money, just like you said, money introduces scarcity. It's the most deceptive of all things because of the system that it's on. And once a person has scarcity, they don't attach their abundance, water, health, children, the real abundance, they don't attach that to anything. And then also it causes several conflicts. It is the root, because if someone has to give someone some money, they don't think, hey, this is my cousin or this is my sister. They think, this is the energy I just put in to get this
right,
back.
Right.
And there's only so much of this, because there'll always be only so much of it imprint anyway, even if it's coming out of a machine. And right. So that scarcity is that's the plague. This is the meat of it.
Can I say something to that? Now, I know there's some people, even like Christians, like there's some people tithe 10%. And some people feel like, well, if I make $1 million, I can't possibly tithe $100,000. That's crazy. Who would give away $100,000 to a church or anybody, right? Here's what Spirit told me. The Spirit that's infused with me right now, the indwelling, said to me, you're going to tithe 90% of everything you make 2 years from now. And I said, okay. I said, but I must ask, why? Because we're within you and we don't need money. In fact, we're going to give you the ideas to spread amongst the world that you're going to make so much money, like $100 billion. They said, could you live on $10 billion? I said, yes. Good. You're going to give away $90 billion of it. Trust me. I don't need money where I'm going.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Anyway, that's it. I'm done with
beautiful, the Jonathan. Beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. Stick with us for the remainder of the show, yeah. Please.
You sure, man?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm done channeling.
Seven, take us away.
Well, I mean, I can, you know, I think we're coming to that conclusion part, but, you know, it's so synchronistic. A lot of the connections and the process of the connections that we have and what we hear and what we know to be the truth. And then, you know, there's just that period of time to where it begins to unfold. And I feel like now more than ever has been the time where so many things are connecting and so many things are happening, because we're realizing that we have the power and the ability to work on all levels. The same way that we inherited our spiritual consciousness again, then we actually have the ability to transform all aspects of life. And what I feel like that also John is really hitting on, because I think it was a rather balanced conversation from the bottom to the top, you know, especially in ending it with the money and how that ends up, you know, causing a lot of people to have the situation of, well, you know, you want to, I mean, basically if a person is poor and sick, there's anything that you can say is not going to penetrate that sickness and that poverty. You're going to have to deal with that issue first. And it's very interesting, though, that anytime you start talking about that in a so-called conscious setting, then all of a sudden it's like you just mentioned the darkest one or George Bush or whatever, because people tend to think that this doesn't connect. But it actually does have a lot to do with our energy, and it does have a lot to do with getting solutions that are actually going to really rectify the situation that people that don't have the luxury to go through this kind of thing are dealing with every single day. And so I think it's a very valid topic to address. And then also when it's time to calm down off of all of this great knowledge, because it's wonderful if you're in perfection and harmony. And this is just something that's kind of serenading your orchestra. But if you're still real in the field and, you know, stuff's coming down on you, you're arguing with people and you're losing energy, et cetera, this becomes a life and death situation for you. So at no point, again, during the conversation do I want people to think that, hey, let's just go for a sci-fi adventure and just talk about some off the wall wild stuff, because I can trace all this back and connect it, because it's the same thing that I had to do for myself. But at the end of the day or night, depending on where you're at, the most valuable thing was centering self. Even that time of which is always necessary, the reboot process, which is getting away from everything for a moment and having the courage, because if you really check into your consciousness, you'll find that there's a big time you can't go to even another country because you don't speak the language there. Just like John was saying, all the things that you tell yourself, I'm fat, you know, if I go there, I'm not going to be able to get a job, I'm not going to make it, you know, all of that extra, it keeps the progress from actually happening to where you start seeing the circle, where you feel the connection between where you were last year, where you are right now, and then even the deja vu to where you realize, hey, I'm actually in the same spot. Then you start getting that creeps, which kind of progresses you into the waking process, because you're like, hey, you know what? This can happen indefinitely forever unless I begin to do something. And I feel like that's when you start to lift all that weight that's on top of you in the pyramidal prism-based system, and then begin to actually shine your light, figure out where you are. And what I found is that because I started getting the major communications from what appeared to be for a while a higher state of consciousness, but the closer I got to it, the more I began to realize that it was me and my true identity. And that was the total merger in a tense to where
what you're saying right now is so integral to all this, because people of the lower ego, they try to define it and set it apart from themselves. When you're right, it has to integrate. So at first you come to that first higher self, and then the third part is the Godhead, and then you integrate all three. If you don't do that, then you lose it, like Chris did. No offense, Chris.
Well, I mean, well, in a certain sense, there's always an enemy. So when there's always an enemy, then, you know, you're going to keep turning the wheel. And the universe, as some people will comment, is actually okay with that.
Right.
And that's actually a part of the perfection. But the perfection in intense is, as that's a word that we're using, we've become so fond of that word, and it equals to us something that we want,
right,
because we're only seeing the half of it.
I want to say the second part, though, real quick. And that wasn't a slight towards you, Chris. What they wanted me to tell you, because they're channeling, is that you needed to have that experience, to have that set point, to know what's possible. But more importantly, that if you had stayed in that state, you wouldn't be running TFR the way you do. So it's important that you come back down to where you're at as well. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And that's what I've realized, is that
you have to take care of
the physical. Not to cut you off, Chris,
but see, that becomes the sacrifice, which a lot of people to not be aware about, is that in this path where much is given, much is required. And it's somewhat of a tricky game, because I found.
Wait, you're right. You're right, by the way. And I sacrificed possibly my relationship with Melissa over this. When I made this, and this is a big way. Your brother, man, we got to talk, because you and I know things and we understand where we're coming from. So there's no animosity. It's just truth. You know what I'm saying? Like you're speaking it, and I get it. And he's right. That's part that people understand. There is a sacrifice. That whole thing with Jesus and all that, he knew what he was going into. I mean, that was a big sacrifice. But let me say something else you touched on. I don't remember the exact word you said, but it triggered me. Can I share this real quick?
Yeah, sure.
In terms of money and everything else like that, the way the system, this matrix is being built, it's taken away the individual identities of male and female and what we're supposed to do as male and female on this planet to then produce the God on Earth, right, the gods and goddesses. That being that man is an external creature, not just the penis, but that we externalize everything and therefore objectify it, not just women. If we see a flat tire, we yell and curse at that flat tire, and we see it as we see everything as a perceived enemy, let's put it that way, until we make peace within ourselves, that we can then make peace with everything around us, kind of like Gandhi. So when we see the flat tire, we might curse it and say, oh, man, I got to change it. Last time I did it, I skinned my knuckles. It's going to be cold. Jack's going to be frozen. You have all this stupid dialogue again, and then your body tenses up and it resists the final command, which is going to be change the goddamn flat tire. Now, if you go in there without those thoughts and things blocking you, you just simply go to the trunk, take out the tire, take out the jack, right? Yeah. Take out the crowbar, loosen the bolts, jack up the car, change out the tire, put the bolts back on. You're done in like 4 minutes. I've done it.
Yeah.
That's the point. There's no resistance.
And there's no energy exchange.
There's no energy exchange. Right. And that's
the thing. You walk out of there where you're current.
Right. But when you objectify things like that, and you objectify everything in life, and you see it in its pure form, just like the tree bark, whatever, you actually see it for what it is and you accept it, right? You let it wash over you, and you're one with it. But let me say something in regards to male and female. Whereas men do that and externalize it, women see everything and they internalize it. They take it in and they want to understand it from the inside. So that sometimes when women take men's power, it's not that they're trying to have a power struggle, but the man is not strong enough for the woman to come to him. She takes away his power and draws it into her, and vice versa. He'll look to dominate and take her power away the same and take it out from within her. So then when a man goes to give to a woman, he can do all the demonstrative gifts and things that he can give her, let's say bars of chocolate or this, that, and the other, and he'll wonder why is she going somewhere else to get emotional support or whatever she needs. Why? Because she's sick of eating chocolate. You got her favorite chocolate, but what you never did was rub her feet and listen to her about how she's feeling in her heart. You never went inside where a woman operates from. Now, here's the second part of this. The matrix, the way it's working, is it's looking to keep us apart from being men and women unto one another. And so we can't create that sacred union that we're supposed to be to bring new life into this world, hence the gods that we are. They've supplanted that with money. And what they've done is tried to create this condition of equality, of parity, which is a paradox in itself, because parity also means the fact of being even or odd, just like in a computer set, one or zero. So they want us to be equal, but they want us to be separate at the same time. So there's more I could tell you, but we're short on time.
Well, there it is. I mean, to chime in, I mean, to, you know, you reload over there, but that's why it's a dollar sign. It's a circle or a curve, the two curves, and the double S, which is, you know, the ancient Isis or the divine feminine, which of course is, and they're attacking on a symbolic level, you know, just with words right now.
Let me say this, because you brought up Isis, though. Let me just say, you know, the story of Adam and Eve. Do you know what this means? I mean, do you know the true meaning of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, from a deeper breakdown, yeah, I've definitely really taken it into.
Do you know it, Chris and Sheree? Do you know it?
Let's go.
All right, we all know the basic story of it, but do we really know what happened? Okay, first of all, they were supposedly the creation from God, right? I mean, he always says we have to be unlike children to go back to heaven, correct? So they were naked in the Garden of Eden. Let me ask you, if you've ever had a child, what do they do usually up until 6 years old when they're playing in the back with the hose and all that? They usually run around naked, not realizing that naked is inappropriate in some way, right? Only adults know that. Correct?
Right. Yeah.
So Adam and Eve were basically children. They weren't adults in the Garden of Eden. They were children in the Garden of Eden. And the tree of knowledge or whatever that God told them not to take the fruit from was when they had sex. Once they had realization they had sex with one another, they were no longer children but now adults. They had fornicated and unlawful carnal knowledge, and they became aware of their naked bodies and what it could do, produce life. Once they made this connection, now they had to leave the protection, just like a child has to leave the protection of the parent's home. Once they come to realization that they're an adult and they must leave. You say?
I totally disagree with that.
Let me tell you the second part of that, and then you can disagree. Ready?
Okay.
And we'll talk about aliens. Anything you want to talk about, who gave this information? You know the story about Adam giving a rib to Eve, correct?
No, it was taken from him, actually.
Taken from him? Whatever, yeah. However you want to put it. Yeah. Okay. Given, taken, doesn't matter. So woman is
there's one. There's a big difference.
There's actually a big difference. Ask rape victims if they think that given versus taken matters.
Not when you don't have a choice. Not when you have a choice. It's when somebody comes along with a ruler and says, you want to give that over? You give it, even though it's being taken. You see what I'm saying? You know, they didn't have a choice. That's the way the narrative of the story went. It's preordained. He had to give it no matter what. What's XY? Is XY a woman or a male?
XY is female, I thought.
Hold on. I'll double check.
And then X.
Okay.
One of the big commandments was be fruitful and multiply. So that's what this God had ordered them to do. So to be fruitful and multiply, you have to have sex.
You have to reproduce.
The knowledge that was given to them is the knowledge of knowing that they're enslaved.
Okay. And go
ahead.
Let me just finish this last part. No, I was right. XX is male. I mean, it's female, right? And male is XY. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Take XX, take XY. Put them next to each other. Okay. Male and female. Turn them sideways, 90 degrees, clockwise. Okay, you just rotated it. Now put a line through where the X intersects and put a line through the XY the same. What do you see there? Which one's missing a rib?
I don't know. You totally lost me.
Take an XX, take an XY, put them next to each other on a piece of paper. You got it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one missing.
Right, there's one missing. When you turn inside, what I'm saying is that whoever told that story was trying to explain to our ancestors what the genetic code was of man and woman in the chromosomal form. Whether it was higher beings or aliens or whatever, they were trying to explain to us the difference between man and woman. Hence the analogy of the missing rib.
If you want to look at it that way, it could also be the division of the hemispheres of the brain and the eventual duality of the human consciousness itself.
I'm just saying, if you put a line through the XX and the XY, one's missing a rib. The line being the spine.
Wow.
Hmm.
Exactly. There's a lot more I know, but guess what? This show is too short to contain it all.
And there will come a point when you realize that you know nothing. And that's when you'll truly reach ascension.
Yeah, that's when the pendulum swings and I eat a steak with Chris Gia.
Yeah.
And then I do ayahuasca and I really don't know anything. Get shit-faced on good pot and beer.
Hey, don't do that before on that other quarter because you can't cut.
Brother, man, you can't do that beforehand, man. It'll wig you. No, you can't. I want to talk with you. You better friend me, goddammit, after this. Anyway. Hey, listen.
On the closing note, I mean, I just wanted to say, yeah, that, to the listeners, it was an amazing conversation. Definitely enough to go back in there and get your own. I felt like you could get every variation. If you didn't like it one way, you were going to get in another. So it's like, okay, you don't like this? Here's another variation of it right here within someone else. Now, is it just you? And so I feel like that still everyone to remember, yeah, that there's a sacrifice. Sometimes it brings me to tears to think about, what we really do to actually bring this message to you. So I'm not saying that directly to myself, but it's just something that we experience. But at the same time, in many senses, if we were just here talking to ourselves, we probably wouldn't be doing it. So in that, I just want to say that, we do need each other, and each person is actually working a different aspect of this. Nobody said we all have to be the same. And the truth is, though, is that that's the paradox. We're unique and we're the same. So, you know, when you can fathom that, or I guess not think about it and connect to it, then it's like that's the truth frequency to me.
Oh, I agree. I always say it's different puzzle pieces, and we can't get the full picture unless we put all our puzzle pieces together. So, Seven, give us the websites one more time and what's coming up in the world of Seven.
Okay, yeah, people can catch us at secretenergy.com. Obviously, we just expanded it even more. We got a really awesome news page. But even beyond that, we're actually going into semester two of the university, which is lined up to be awesome. And we're going to be discussing Keymaker Season 2, obviously on TFR. And we may do a little simulcast with YouTube Live to get some video and things going. And I got to talk to Chris about that. And we also have a retreat coming up here in just a little bit here in Costa Rica. So there's always something amazing going on. You know, we never stop. It's going to keep getting innovative while we're here. And we're just going to do as much as we can with this time, which is a lot. You know, we can actually do a lot. We can do much more as if we tune in and tap into our mother and our father, which is inside of us. And then even beyond the physicals and start going more in depth to the spirituals. And then make that merger, as we've been talking about tonight, is, you know, put all those Russian dolls back into a box after a while, kill all the conspiracies and the forces that are supposedly against you, realize that all is self, that you are even more magnificent than the sun, and nothing impure can stand in your face as long as you stand in truth.
Can I get my website in? www.jonathan.com with an H, J-O-H-N. A-T-H-A-N.com.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much.
Great.
This has been fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, kiss the one you love right now. You never know when the last time is going to be. And we will continue to bear the light in the darkness right here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
See you next week, guys. Love ya. No peace, deceased the police to show peace. Unleash peace, no belief. Peace underneath the beast that lies dormant. Forced to use force, forced to use caution. Tossed in the ground with the subliminal blinded. Like KRS-One, cause I'm criminal minded. I run with soldiers amongst the vultures. Now you're under control. Cause you do what they told you. The front line.